Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast. This is podcast number 36. We're going to talk a little bit about the new wave of DC books coming and Avengers versus X-Men that's coming as well. My name is Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics, and also here is...
Justin Pinto.
Adam Russell.
Jeremy Dan.
Sugar Shane.
Matt Lytle.
Joe F. Been collecting so long that my issues have issues.
Sean Sisson. And calling in from Cleveland.
At Nick Borelli.
Okay, first thing I want to talk about is DC's canceled their six of their first relaunch books and have introduced six new ones. So the canceled ones are not a big surprise to anybody. Blackhawks, Hawk and Dove, Men of War, Mr. Terrific, OMAC, and Static Shock. Not exactly the big sellers. And to replace that, we have returning is Batman Incorporated from Morrison and Chris Burnham, Earth 2 by James Robinson and Nicholas Scott, World's Finest by Paul Levitz and George Perez and Kevin Maguire, Dial H with China Mieville, and now I'm going to try that one. Joe?
Oh, man. Mateus Santaluoco.
There we go.
I doubt.
G.I. Combat from J.T. Krull and Ariel Olivetti, and The Ravagers by Howard Mackey and Ian Churchill. So, like I said, not a big surprise that those first six were canceled. They weren't my bottom six, but they certainly weren't my top six.
Men of War is the only one that disappoints me.
And Hawk and Dove, actually, for some reason, was strong here, but apparently didn't make the cut.
You got some Rockfield lovers.
I do.
That's the only one that I would be sad to miss out of that five. Not even sad to miss, just kind of a little remote.
What were the sale numbers like on those for you, Colin?
For me, not a lot. Like, Hawk and Dove was probably two above the cutoff line from where, let's see, I think Mr. Terrific was probably my highest of that batch. OMAC wasn't on my list either. OMAC was selling well. Added to mine that would have been on here would have been Blue Beetle was probably, I think, second to the bottom for me. And I think Captain Atom and Legion Lost would have been in below Hawk and Dove and OMAC for me.
It's sad that we're going to lose those terrific J.G. Jones covers.
That's true. Well, they'll put them on somebody else. One of the other books.
What books are you doing covers on?
Terrific.
Mr. Terrific.
Oh, really? Mr. Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Although he's
on Mr. Terrific.
He's also doing the Frankenstein covers, though. Those great... like old horror movie covers.
He's trying to get the internet fired up over here.
No, actually, he's... What are you saying, though? That was one of the first things I thought.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute.
What?
Nothing.
You don't
want to
know.
DC is being racist
because they're canceling the only black lead character in a book called Black Hawks.
And DC's, the books could have been better.
Static Shock.
That's a reach.
But, yeah. You still got Batwing?
Yeah,
he's next.
I hope not. I like that one.
No, that's a good book.
That's one of my favorites.
Does that sell well for you, Colin?
You know, it sells well because I've been pushing it on people since from the very beginning.
And the people
that try it have really enjoyed it. So,
sure.
I think the same thing, like a lot of people were surprised All-Star Western wasn't on there, but I've been pushing that too, and I think people have really been liking that one too. So
with the new books, I'm kind of disappointed because a lot of the pairings kind of stink. Like G.I. Combat, I would love, but it has an artist that I can't stand.
Who's that?
Ariel Olivetti. Right, and it just seems Paul Levitt's writing does not do anything for me.
Agreed.
To be honest, and Ryan will hate me for saying this, but I wish Grant Morrison would just stay out of the Bat universe at this point.
I just don't think we need another Batman book.
Well, it's continuing the one that was going on before.
I was just taking up for Ryan, though.
Yeah, I mean, let Scott Snyder and that crew run Batman because...
Well, Ryan and I were discussing today, we both agree we enjoy Superman more than his Batman.
Yeah, he's just too... I don't like his stories for Batman's universe.
This is supposed to only be 12 issues, though.
What?
Batman.
Yeah.
New Batman.
It's a maxi series or whatever they're calling it, I think.
Isn't Earth 2 as well?
That I don't know.
James Robinson is doing Earth 2.
Yeah,
which I'll be interested to see, because apparently he loves that universe, and... I hated him on Justice League, but I love him on Shade.
Have you read Golden Age?
I haven't read that since it first came out.
This will be good, Robinson.
I have not read Golden Age.
Golden Age is definitely one of my favorite superhero stories of all time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the same characters and the fact here's where James Robertson does good. When he's not tied into any other continuity, he has the chance to hit a home run. When he has to work with other people and, you know, work with their schedules and editorial edict, he usually doesn't. So I think that Earth 2 is going to be pretty much left alone and not touched by anybody else, and I think that it's going to be a really great book.
Plus, it'll probably be a book that's steeped in history and nostalgia, which are two big themes for Robinson. You know, if you read Starman, it's all about, you know, history, nostalgia, collecting things. Those are big themes that run throughout. So this is right in his wheelhouse, and plus he was the one responsible for the JSA relaunch.
Correct.
About, 12 years ago or so?
Yeah, 98 or 99, somewhere around there.
So, and, you know, that was a beloved series, even though he only stuck around for a little while on it, so.
Yeah, well, he stuck around for longer than you'd think, because he started co-writing it with David Goyer, and after that, then they sort of ushered in Jeff Johns' long-standing run on that book.
Yeah, somewhere around, like, the teens or early 20s, right?
Yeah.
So.
That was an excellent book, and he had the chance to play with a lot of characters that, you know, weren't being used for a while. But what's going to make this book, in my opinion, at least to give it the potential to be really good, is simply the fact that he gets to, you know, have these characters be special. Yeah. Like, is Alan Scott and Jay Garrick, are they special when you've got a Wally West and a Kyle Rayner and a Barry Allen and all these different layers of Flashes and Green Lanterns? No. But will they be special if they're the only universes Green Lantern and Flash? I think that's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, do you think new readers will like the Earth 2 alternate universe?
That's spooky. I think there's a good chance that Earth 2 could be a very different Earth than, you know, our Earth. I mean, you could really play with it. You could have, like, a full-scale alien invasion. Or you could have history have gone wrong terribly or something. I think that new readers would be very interested in an alternate history similar to how they were into Age of Apocalypse or anything like that. So not only do you have all these Golden Age elements in a way that doesn't have other characters outshining them, you also have the potential to do whatever you want with the backdrop of the story too.
Nick, did the story, the Golden Age, take place in an alternate timeline or
yes,
in the Golden Age?
Yes, it is an Elseworld.
Ah, okay, okay.
It's one of those, officially it's an Elseworlds, but there are parts of it that kind of creeped into that JSA run.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a popular Elseworld, so sometimes they let it bleed in. I mean, originally, Superman, Batman, that series, again, was something that was supposed to be out-of-continuity stories, but the inclusion of the current, or the then-modern Supergirl and other elements bled into regular continuity, and eventually it was like, you know, some of it was canon, some of it wasn't. Golden Age is an Elseworlds story that used a lot of the 1950s in between the 40s and, you know, the Silver Age story, you know, which is prime for a lot of interpretation because there really wasn't a lot of superhero books in that time.
Mm-hmm. I love that redesign of Batman that they used in that. Where it's, like, more realistic with the goggles.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a precursor to what Lee Bermejo's been doing in his Batman books.
Yeah, especially, I mean, it fits now with the way that they do costumes to make it look more like clothing. Even Gotham by Gaslight was an Elseworld that had another really interesting, you know, old-timey Batman costume that I thought was really, really sweet, too.
Yeah, something you said, Nick, that's interesting that could be really interesting with this Earth 2 that I hadn't thought about is, you know, when you were mentioning Age of Apocalypse, it'll be interesting to see, you know, we all have this concept of the Justice Society as, you know, the World War II versions. And even during, you know, Earth 2 back in the day, they were still the World War II versions. You know, it'll be interesting, are they going to keep that idea or will it just be, are they going to modernize the JSA?
In the Silver Age, reimagining of the DC Universe and the crossovers that happened with the various crises in the early Justice League books, those universes, not only did they not, you know, have different characters, but they also, the history went different.
Right.
So, I mean, I really think it would be a shame to have everything else in the world, you know, history and everything, run the same way, right, and just have different superheroes on it. Like, I would really have fun with it. Or there was, I believe it was called, this is my pre-crisis continuity stuff isn't perfect, Earth X, the DC Earth X of pre-crisis.
That was the Nazi one, wasn't it?
Nick doesn't know something? Wait.
No, no, I know it. I just was, you know.
No, the Earth X.
But yeah, Earth X had a completely different, you know, history, where Uncle Sam and
the Freedom Fighters,
right, were fighting Nazis in what was then modern day.
Yeah,
and the Nazis that won. Was interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that one.
Is Earth 2 where Owl Man is from?
No, that's Earth 3.
That's 3.
Well, that's post-crisis Earth 3. What pre-crisis it would have been? What?
Earth 70.
Wasn't it? I thought it was always Earth 3.
17.
Post-crisis.
Well, there's only 52 Earths now. The Earth 70.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what it is. Post-crisis, it was Earth 2, Morrison.
Right.
And pre-crisis, Earth 3, correct.
Right. And then they changed it from Earth 2 to the antimatter universe.
Correct, which is the same universe as the Quartians are from.
Right. Which always made my head hurt.
So I had these kind of conversations with people about DC prior to the New 52, and this is why they go, this is why I read X-Men, or this is why I read Spider-Man.
I was going to say, X-Men's not a book to choose if you don't like continuity.
That's true. This is why you read Spider-Man.
I like the X-Men. They had a cool cartoon.
They've got Gambit and Jubilee. What's not to like?
Exactly.
So let me talk about my most disappointing thing of the new DC thing is that they took Edmondson off of, or not Edmondson, Higgins off of
Deathstroke,
and put Liefeld on it.
What? Now how do you know they took him off versus he walked away?
His Twitter feed kind of indicates that he didn't walk away.
Yeah,
I was just asking.
He didn't flat out say it, but it didn't sound like it was something he wanted to give up.
Gotcha.
I thought it was kind of odd that they did, because I thought really that Nightwing, being that they were both, he was writing Nightwing and that, were somehow going to tie together at some point, being that they're very close characters. Being that he's the villain of the Teen Titans. And
continuity wise, there was a storyline where Nightwing wore a red suit and called himself Renegade. And then Deathstroke was his mentor.
Really?
But that was pre-New 52.
Right. They might have brought that back.
In the knowledge. I think
there's an action figure of this.
Was Deathstroke selling well?
I'd say middle of the pack.
No?
No.
Plus, I mean, I thought Nightwing has been the better book of the two.
But, I mean, I thought Deathstroke was a fun, violent...
The only problem book. With Deathstroke for me is that it feels too similar to Suicide Squad. It's not the same. I know it's not the same.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But for what I get out of them, I enjoy Suicide Squad more than Deathstroke. So,
but you're not really upset, though, about Higgins leaving it. You're more upset about who they're putting on it, right?
Well, it's a combination. I thought Higgins was doing really well, and I think he's one of the better new writers. And, you know, putting somebody on there who doesn't seem to be very popular to most people, but apparently he is, or he wouldn't be getting that plus plotting things on two new books. Because he's taking over plotting Grifter and something else.
The 90s are back, man, in a big way, and nobody knows the 90s better than Rob Liefeld.
I read an article comparing DC canceling these six books and relaunching more, comparing it to like comic books in 1992.
It's also good, Hawkman.
They would cancel things and slap a number one on something and print tons of copies, and it worked for like 10 months. But, you know, he said, like, look at what was left after that for the rest of the 90s, and when things finally started to go down, you know, the writer, I forget what website it was on. It was some link off of Speed Force somewhere, I think, is what I clicked on.
Well, and if you look at, like, across the board industry today, a lot of companies will do this, you know, not just Marvel and DC, but even your smaller indie publishers. They make their bread and butter, rather than long, continuous series, the series of miniseries, because you're constantly doing that number one.
Well, and this article said a lot about, it puts somebody like Colin or somebody who owns a comic book store in a tough spot, where it's great for them, and you might order a bunch of number ones, but what if they don't sell? you're stuck with ordering issues, and you have to order number twos before number ones come in, so you have to try to predict what's going to happen. And it doesn't necessarily – sure, DC's making money, yeah, and Marvel's making money, and even the smaller companies are making money, but it kind of sticks – it kind of doesn't help somebody like Colin.
It kind of makes me think that with this business practice, with this new relaunch, that you know there's a hard ceiling where they probably said at the beginning, if you're not selling above X units per month, that's it. You know, we'll give you, you know, they gave it 8 issues, which is pretty impressive because,
well, they really gave it like five.
I doubt this was, the way this has been orchestrated, I doubt this was an arbitrary, well, it's been 6 months and, you know, hemming and hawing. It was probably a, here's the numbers, be above these or you're, you know, you're done.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't know that. We know Colin's numbers, and Colin can tell us what he sells and things, but we don't know where it stands in a lot of other senses of, you know, was Savage Hawkman just that terrible? Does Blue Beetle sell better than Savage Hawkman?
Well, it does.
The whole company?
It is kind of telling that a lot of the other, the books that weren't canceled, that are sticking around, that next set of low sellers seem to be the ones that are getting creative shakeups. You know, your Green Arrow, Hawkman,
Grifter,
you know, a lot of that, they're probably next on the chopping block, and they might get.
I hope we don't get into this pattern of constantly refilling up to 62. I hope they don't cancel 3 books to add 3 books because they want to stick at this number.
No, they said the number wasn't important. It was just a number that has been.
And it really is.
They kind of associated with, but it's not a set.
Well, they are canceling 6 and adding 6.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some type of.
If you also look at it, they added the, like, they don't talk about it, but, you know, they added the Ray. They don't consider the Ray, like,
well, new. But the Ray doesn't get, I'm looking forward to seeing these issues when the covers are released and what's going to happen, but are these covers of these number ones going to say New 52 on them when they come out in 4 months?
No, that's a great question. You know what I mean? Yeah,
like, is this going to be some type of brand for a while?
I don't think it will be.
Probably what you'll see is that in May, when the 8s come out, that's probably when they'll take off the new 52 branding.
Or they'll just be some newer 52.
Yeah.
I mean, but it, like, you know, it's like, it's no, kind of I mean, we all knew Inc. was coming back. Batman Inc. was going to come back, and they had said that from before. Because there were some people who said when they announced all 52 titles, where's Batman Inc.? Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to release this, and it'll come back later. But, you know.
And they hinted at the Earth 2 book when the new 52 launched as well, so we knew that was coming.
Well, that's because Levitz loves the Earth 2 stuff, right?
Isn't well, it? Like it's because one of the biggest complaints was, where's the JSA? Yeah. And they didn't want to tell you, but they were like, just relax.
Which also sounds like this like wave of books was pseudo-planned, because they kind of said when they were announcing JSA, they said that's in the second wave. So it could, you know, were they planning on canceling X number of books? We don't know, but it certainly is a possibility where they launched it knowing that not everybody would hit the sales goal.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody's going to lose sleep over any of the books that got canceled.
No.
No,
I mean it's not like any true fan favorites or any big number.
Maybe Dan Didio staying up late at night clutching his pillow. They didn't like my book. They didn't like OMAC.
But I did. But you got to give him credit, because he could have easily kept OMAC and canceled, I don't know.
That was one of the things they did point out, that
Frankenstein.
OMAC wasn't in the bottom 6 sales-wise, but they said it would have looked a little odd, him canceling other books but keeping his.
Now here's a question. Do you guys think that these new books that are going to be coming out, are they going to have the same impact on you, that you really want this or that? I don't feel like they do. I mean, maybe one or two, but I haven't seen them yet. But the names of the titles, like, basically what they replaced one war-type book with a new war-type book.
Well, 2 war books with one.
But
well, yeah, that's true. Blackhawks was technically.
But I kind of look at the war book thinking in some ways this should have been the war book they started with, like, only in the sense of the title to me is more recognizable of an old school DC war book.
Yeah, now, the reason I will read that is because of the backups they talked about with Haunted Tank and.
But I always thought
Unknown Soldier.
Unknown Soldier. I like the War That Time Forgot, just from my love of Darwin Cook's New Frontier. So that kind of excited me. And the Dial H for Hero, that cover looks really trippy. It looks more like a Vertigo take
on it. Yeah, see, I know nothing about Dial H for Hero. It sounds like a Heroes for Hire type book.
No.
Did you not know how it works?
No, I've never read anything with Dial H for Hero.
It's based on an antiquated technology. It's a rotary disc that was on a phone. It's a disc, a rotary, and you literally dial it to H, you spin it, and you get a new superpower for, I believe, 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Didn't it pass the
random
hero device? The other thing about it was that the Will Pfeiffer run, it passed around to different people, but I think the original run, it was just one kid who had it.
Yeah, it was one kid that had it originally. You're right. The Pfeiffer run, it sort of like bounced from person to person and
kind
had
of
a
Captain
Will.
Universe kind of thing.
Now,
where,
see, that makes me want to read that book. I had no desire.
I'm going to try them all.
I mean, what we talked about.
It's
I'll read all
six
the
number
ones.
I'll try them all and see if there's something that
I think the one I'm a little iffy on is The World's Finest. Isn't that the one being written by Levitz?
Yeah, the Power Girl Huntress.
But I like Huntress. I really love Huntress, so I'll read it just to see if it's...
Are you reading his miniseries?
It's okay. It's not... I do like her when she's a little more, you know, edgy and badass, but...
I thought it started really well and kind of...
Yeah, it dropped off, especially the last issue.
Yeah, the last issue was a little weird, but...
I'm just a little upset there's not a Man of Bats book yet.
I'm really buying into the what people are saying about the Army book or the War book, that it's simply an anthology that exists so they can re-up the ownership of the names through copyright.
Probably.
Yeah, that makes me not excited. That makes me go, editorial says, you need to write stories based on these characters so we can continue owning them.
Kind of like the line of Fox movies coming out.
Kind of like Captain Marvel.
yeah, exactly.
But don't you think, that aside, that just the name and the characters, it might have been more successful if they led with that one rather than the Men at War? Because I think Men of War was also a DC war book, but not as well known as...
What was weird is, well, so it's Sergeant Rock's Kid Current Day is what it's about. The first two or three issues, I had no idea what was going on. I liked it because it was a war book. It was a good war book. And then... Was four the last one out, or did five of that come out? Whatever the last issue that came out was. It's like, oh, that's the story. Like, if they would have got to that plot point a lot faster, I think that book would have been better.
I remember reading it. The first issue turned me off. Like, I liked the lead story, but that backup story.
Oh, I liked that backup. But the art was weird, but I liked the story.
But I'm just not a war comics guy. But the idea of a war comics and a superhero universe... You know, that concept, I think, like you said, if they would have got to that.
Yeah, because the concept, I don't know, if you're still reading it?
No, but I've kind of followed roughly
what
the plots are.
The whole thing is, like, they find this ancient group of soldiers who are from out through all of time, and they're still, like, existing somehow. They haven't explained how they're still alive, but that was what happened in the last issue. And it's like, oh, this is a cool story, but it would have been a lot cooler if you did... introduce these characters in two or three.
Yeah, because, see, I read the first issue, and it was more straight-up war. And then I read the backup, and I was like, oh, this is, like, strictly
really
a war comic. Yeah. I'm like, not my thing. You know. But hearing what it was evolving into sounded interesting, but now it's being canceled.
I'm surprised both of the Legion books survived.
Well, we were talking about that today, and Colin was making a point that he thinks just the Legion itself still has enough fans to sell a book because they keep making Legion books, and you know, it's like this uber niche.
Put
like,
Legion on something, and it's guaranteed money. Just
well, I guess
it.
Legion Lost is the one I'm surprised about. Legion, I'm not, but
Legion Lost picked up a lot. Like, I read the last one, and I thought it was a lot.
But I think it is, it's one of those things when you're a Legion fan,
you'll
buy
kind of like you with Hawkman,
probably.
How do you feel about the new... So when they say he's plotting, does that mean he's writing, or does that mean it's his story and somebody
else's
scripting?
Well, see, I thought they announced somebody else before they announced Liefeld, so I've been kind of confused. I have a feeling it's not going to make it past the second cut anyway, so it might... I'm guessing up to issue 12.
Because I really don't have a problem with his writing. I mean, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's definitely not horrible.
Yeah.
It's his art that just...
No, I mean, I'll give you, if he's, like,
actively pushing other writers off books to take over, that to me is one where I'm like,
yeah,
not
I mean,
cool.
He's
but...
fine, but he's no Scott Snyder, right?
Right. Like, I
mean, not many people are, but...
My thing with Rob Liefeld is I neither love him nor hate him. Like, you know, Shane was saying with Hawk and Dove, I'm sad to see it go, but I'm not like, oh, this is the end of DC for me. It's just, it was a fun book for what it was. It wasn't, like, it's not one I would be trying to put in people's hands. It's kind of a guilty pleasure book, but I'm
What's not the gonna... book you'd try to put in people's hands?
It's not Batman.
Aquaman, maybe?
Aquaman, of course. How did I not know that? Adam, what book would you put in people's hands?
Batman.
Pinto.
You said not Batman.
Yeah, you have to exclude Batman, because that's the obvious answer.
Batman.
Oh, Animal Man.
Okay. You took Sean's pick.
I'd probably say Batwing.
Batwing, all right.
Batman and Robin.
Oh, all right. Colin, we'll save you for last. Matt?
Well, you're next.
I'm not reading the New 52. I'm not into that.
Oh,
I'm waiting for the trade. Waiting for the trade.
I figured out what you're doing, Nick.
Three.
I would say Catwoman, probably.
Catwoman. Oh, Barry and
no, time out.
Sorry, I'm the only one that got to see that.
I'm going to reverse that choice. Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh. Cool. Shane?
New Guardians.
All hey, right. Nick?
You guys should look. Nick's following Greg Capullo's advice.
What's that?
He's reading.
I'm reading a comic on its side.
Nick, what book would you put in people's hands?
Probably Animal Man, only because it's something that looks like it would be like a good episodic television show, or, you know, I think that people could get, it almost has like a Lost type feel to it, where it's like trippy, and but it's still, you know, it has a lot of flashbacks that informs you about the character. I would go with Animal Man.
All right.
Quick question, though. Do you think, because we compare Animal Man and Swamp Thing a lot, do you think Swamp Thing would be a more safe choice?
That's what my pick would have been, Swamp Thing, only because of the art.
That's mm-hmm. what
I think. I think Animal Man may
Animal Man's
the
out
art
there.
Might be a little off-putting to the uninitiated. They look at that and go, "What the heck is this?" Where Swamp Thing is more, you know, it's Yannick Paquette, more pretty.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Well, and as Adam was saying before the podcast, the art on Animal Man fits the story.
Absolutely.
Animal Man's out
put
there.
Trevor Bowman on Batman.
Right,
and
it wouldn't work most other places, but for that book it fits.
It might work with Batman.
He was alright on Iron Fist.
But if you have
a Batman story, not the Batman story.
Yeah, I could see him doing a detective,
like a
more of the detective side of it.
Yeah, but
mystery.
I don't think there's any way for anybody to write a Superman story that actually would ever fit.
Hmm. Superman and him? Oh, man.
Well, has he done superhero stuff before?
He did Iron Fist.
Iron Fist?
Yeah, and he's done some other things.
He's changed his style then, hasn't he? Because he didn't look like that when he was drawing
Iron Fist.
Didn't
he work with Lemire on something else, Colin?
Who?
Travel Foreman.
No, I don't.
I thought
not
he
that
did
I
Sweet Tooth or...
No, that's all Jeff Lemire's writing and all that.
No, there's been issues of that Jeff Lemire has done the art. Okay. Yeah.
Call in question.
I look at Wikipedia, but it's offline.
Everyone's saying, like, you know, these six titles are titles that no one's going to be up in arms about, nothing really earth-shattering. How many of the new 52 titles would you say, if they canceled it, there might be, like, an internet hubbub for a day about something, but how many of the new 52 titles, or just titles in general, if they did cancel it, people would really take notice? You know what I mean? Like, there's certain, like, pillars, like action and detective.
Right,
and
ones that are new, that were not carryovers from prior books, probably not
books.
A whole lot.
But even, like, Green Lantern Corps. If Green Lantern Corps got canceled...
As long as a Green Lantern book
like,
was
I mean, if you canceled Green Lantern, or canceled all the Green Lanterns...
Yeah, if you canceled all the Green Lanterns...
Some people might be mad, but if you left a Green Lantern standing, and you canceled New Guardians... Like, I'd be upset if they canceled New Guardians. I think it's a great book. But it would dissipate in a couple days. Like, how many books... Of the new, how many books could they really cancel that would, you know, maybe
think,
USA Today would cover it if something was ending.
Yeah. I don't know if
my
USA
question.
Today would cover it, but like Catwoman may get a lot of press just because people might say it was because of the sexist nature of it.
I really think if you cancel Catwoman and there'd be an internet story about it for a day,
yeah, I think,
and we would care for a while, but after a while,
Batgirl?
I think if you were being brutally honest, Justin, you could probably cancel upwards of 40 of those titles.
The number that jumped in my head, and I didn't count them, I would say there's like 10 books that if you canceled it, maybe 10 comic books out of the New 52 that they got canceled, there'd be a blurb in the USA Today about it.
But to be honest...
You were saying 40 could be canceled and nobody would say anything.
To be honest, there's probably only... six or seven Marvel titles that you couldn't
exactly
cancel.
My point. I mean, like, you know, here we are debating on the six titles that got canceled and how we're like, well, nothing earth shattering, but nothing of it would be earth shattering really outside of like Action Detective Batman. And really, they've kind of lost their cachet because we were at Detective 890.
We survived that relaunch.
We relaunched it and now we're all people are reading because of it. So it's kind of,
this is a history question for me. Is I read Avengers Disassembled after New Avengers had relaunched. When they did that and they announced that Avengers was ending, was the New Avengers stuff, was that announced, or was an indefinite?
Well, I remember when New Avengers before. Was announced, people were enraged
about Spider-Man and Wolverine.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Wolverine belong. But I mean, that was all people
it's
saw.
It's all people talked about.
But I was wondering, like, we were talking about, because I would say canceling an Avengers book without a plan to relaunch
the franchise.
But
see, that was on the heels. I don't think it was announced.
But I think a lot of people would just automatically assume that at some point it's coming back.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to be heartbroken about it.
When they canceled Avengers at 502, nobody cared that they canceled Avengers.
A crappy book.
Yeah, nobody cared about the Avengers back then.
There was no Avengers franchise back then. It was just simply a comic book. Because
you figure this is pre-Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Iron Man, Cap, Thor, none of that, I think.
Lionheart.
Maybe X-Men.
Yeah, Lionheart.
Maybe X-Men and Spider-Man were out.
Scarlet Witch.
I personally don't think that there's any title out there that if it was actually canceled, people would be all in an uproar about. Only because if it was really that good to begin with, they're going to assume that in a month or two it's coming back, just with a new number one.
That's us, though, but we're...
I would also say, like, if Batman got canceled, everybody who came in here to talk to Colin would say, can you believe they canceled Batman? But they cancel, like, Hawk and Dove, and
people would come in and say that, you know, oh, I can't believe they canceled Batman.
Even people who don't read Batman would come in and say, I can't believe they canceled Batman.
But I bet 99% of them would think, oh, next month or in 2 months, it'll just come back. You know, it's not going to be gone forever. Mm-hmm.
Just that. But if it were,
I could save.
Justin's like, who just doesn't sound like a bad idea?
Justin's goal would be for them to cancel all of the Bat Family to save himself significant money every month.
I got a quick question for you, Colin, on the new books that are, you know, the six replacement books. How do Teen Titans and Superboy sell for you?
Pretty well. Teen Titans up there. Superboy, middle of the pack.
Because Ravengers, I just don't see a need for it in there now.
That was one of the new titles.
Well,
isn't that a four-issue mini, though?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, I didn't read that.
It's a mini of some length. I don't remember 4 or 6. Yeah.
So okay. It's not, I mean.
I didn't know it was a mini. Because, I couldn't see that as an ongoing title.
I didn't know that either.
So what 6 books would you have canceled? Based on sales,
like I said, Blue Beetle would have been in there, and either Captain Atom and Legion Lost.
Because they were tied.
And OMAC and Hawk and Dove wouldn't have. So, I mean, the fact that 4 of the 6 are mine as well, kind of...
Yeah, it's indicative.
Yeah, I wasn't... Not a big surprise. Like, I think, for me, I think Static Shock was my lowest with selling, like, 5 copies.
Wow.
Crazy. With an artist from this city.
Yeah, but...
I don't think anybody knows.
It's not that. Scott McDaniel. But I just think it wasn't launched well. Same with both Legion books. They weren't launched well. They weren't... inclusive to new readers. They were very... You had to know what was going on beforehand.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the books took too long to get to their point. Grifter, yeah. Men of War.
Yeah, we talk about Batman and Green Lantern reading pretty much the same post-relaunch. Those Legion books, it's like, they didn't even notice the new 52 the way they read.
Legion Lost was the disappointing book to me, because I had just read the Advent Lanning Mini that it was supposed to be taking after, and...
I don't know if it's supposed to be taken. I think it was taking the idea.
And the creators, which I do think...
And it had nothing to do with the old miniseries. I was just kind of like...
Because isn't it them stranded in present day?
Yeah. But I guess I didn't know who they were. I didn't know what... Yeah, you know, I just...
Yeah, and they picked really bad Legionnaires, too.
It's like when Wildfire is the most recognizable Legionnaire.
Wasn't Karate Kid one of them?
Didn't he die in Countdown?
He died in Countdown.
Okay, thank you.
Is he back?
No.
Okay. No, I think Karate Kid.
There's another one. There's like an apprentice.
Judo Boy?
Judo Boy, I was just thinking that.
Gorilla Bob's buddy, Judo Boy?
Judo Man.
You know,
that's just dangerous.
If one of those six books had a gorilla, talking gorilla in them, they'd probably still be on the.
No, because Justice League got canceled with a talking gorilla.
No, oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name, but
I'm still upset.
That was Gorilla Bob.
I'm still upset, and I'm sure Colin would agree that there's no Manta Bats book yet.
Well, we'll you know, that would be a cool idea for a backup in the Batman Inc. book, because I would pay $3.99
cool
if
idea
it,
for Batman no, no, Inc.
Yeah.
Backups
yeah,
of
that's
the,
what
the,
I meant. Was
yeah.
Batman Inc. was do backups of like Man of Bats 1 month,
Night Runner,
Cassandra.
I don't
Kane.
Think you know what. I don't think they want to do too much with them yet until Batman Inc.
That's what I'm saying.
They
put
backups
put this,
in Batman.
Put
Inc.
Oh,
in
the,
Inc.
oh yeah.
But
yeah.
then you have to establish who's still alive, because didn't the New 52 relaunch begin with all these Batman Inc. people getting killed?
Yeah.
Who died?
Like the Russian one.
The Russian
yeah.
one. And the Argentine
one. A lot of them, though, that
one.
They didn't play up
Batman
too much,
and Robin,
though.
Yeah.
The one with the bad guy.
But you could do Knight and Squire.
Yeah, whatever
do...
happened to Knight and Squire and
they
all
had a
Squire.
Miniseries.
Knight and Squire never did it. Never,
yeah, Paul Cornell's yeah, miniseries was like the most British thing I've ever read. It was great. I mean, I'm a big fan of British television, so I was right there. You know, it was very much, I mean, you can't say it has British sensibility. Paul Cornell's British. But right. He's written Doctor Who stories, and you know he's right there in that world. That was a goofy, fun book.
I don't know. Reading The Boys recently, though, I've learned more British obscenities than I've ever.
I always wonder when I'm reading the Boys, is the C word really that popular in Britain?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
it's
it
punctuation.
Is.
I knew some Irish people.
Punctuation.
Because that's like one of the like most
they're,
taboo words.
They're
in,
able
in
to say it, and it doesn't sound dirty.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, just like
because I've always thought that's one of the most foul, offensive words to say.
Exactly.
But when they do, but if you say it with a British accent, you're fine.
But like, yeah, you pick up the first trade of The Boys. I remember it was one of the first things Colin pitched me outside of superhero books, and I picked it up and I'm reading it. I'm like, holy cow, this guy likes that word.
And the word he is thinking of right now is cookie.
Yes.
C is for cookie.
It's good enough for me.
I thought it was cupcakes.
Cupcakes, cookie.
So, Justin, you read Batman 5.
Matt, there's some words we can't say on the podcast, and one is cupcakes.
Thumb up. Them down.
It's good. It's just like four. It's just you. It ends and you want to read. Like I almost am debating waiting for trades now. It's just like you read the end of it and you're like, what's okay?
Wait, well,
another month.
But
of
see,
waiting.
But
and,
see, if you read the trade, you're going to get to the end of the trade and have to wait like 6 months to a year for the next.
Oh,
one.
I know. But at least you'll get. The, I mean, it's.
But Colin doesn't have to worry because you would still buy the issues and then the trade at the end of the six or
you
7 months.
Have the issues. I've started. I'm in. I'm all in. So.
What book are we talking about?
Batman. How about the digital one? Does the digital code expire in the package? Ever?
Not well, as of yet, no.
I can't see
unless
why
the internet shuts down.
Okay.
Again.
Again, yes.
Well, if they pass SOPA or whatever, then you're in trouble.
Oh, breaking news! It squashed.
But didn't they do that like 2 days ago?
Yeah, but Obama got into it now, so he can own it.
I thought he squashed it 2 days ago, and then the Senate was pushing PIPA or whatever, which was just as evil.
Yeah, PIPA is the Senate version of the House's SOPA.
I thought PIPA was hot. So.
I'm all plus, confused. He's British. Maybe Paul Cornell could write a miniseries.
Ooh,
about
it. Okay, cool.
Who's PIPA?
PIPA Middleton.
Kate's sister.
Hey, we're talking politics.
Younger, more promiscuous sister.
Us Anglophiles. You know, that was quite the transition.
Pippa. We went from
only one
Pippa
I know
we
of.
Went from digital downloads of comics to Congress bills
to the
to
royal
Kate Middleton's younger,
more
better looking, maybe more promiscuous sister.
Allegedly. I mean, allegedly more promiscuous.
You would think that since I bought all the Kate Middleton comic books that I would know this.
Yeah, has Blue Water put out a Pippa book yet?
They may have tried, but it might have gotten canceled.
Now, if this bill was passed, would that be the end of this podcast?
No, we don't talk about anything copyrighted.
Yeah.
We don't have, yeah.
Wait, what about the music at the start and the end of
that's
the
show? That's true, I could get in trouble.
We have permission.
Done. Well, we have permission.
For fair use.
Or I'd sing it.
Yeah!
He wants to come on February 8th.
Okay.
That'll be the first non-Justin podcast.
Oh, crap, I won't be here.
Really?
No.
He'll be at the
you'll be
at distributors. Or
I'll be on an airplane.
What's that meeting called?
Comics Pro.
Is that an official announcement, though?
Yes. Consider it. Tickets are paid for. Yes.
The guest of the podcast.
Adam Warrock is his name, and he is he's the guy that sings he raps almost exclusively about comic books, and he's confirmed for the 8th.
Okay, well, cool. I'll have to set up some notes.
So you won't be in there in time to...
No, I don't land there till 8-something.
He's a Pittsburgh native.
Well, if you have one of those cool planes...
With Wi-Fi.
Because that's just what you want to do on your plane ride, right?
You can Skype
on your somewhat vacation. We need you to come back.
He's going
to
be 3 Mai Tais to the wind.
Call in from the plane.
Yeah, you can Skype in off the plane now. How cool would that be?
I'll think about it.
You can get one of those.
You guys wait here for
him. Although, I'll have the iPad. Somebody's going to have to bring their iPad. Okay, moving on. Now we'll switch to Marvel. From whatever we were talking about. So here we go. I'm going to read verbatim. This April, the Avengers and the X-Men, the two most popular franchises in comics history, go to war. Marvel is proud to announce Avengers vs. X-Men, a landmark 12-issue pop culture event bringing together the world's greatest superheroes, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow. Really? Spider-Man, Wolverine, Cyclops, Storm, movie. Magneto, and more. I just don't know if I'd put her in that lineup.
But she's in the movie.
For an unforgettable battle beginning April 2012, Avengers X-Men is written by a team of the top-selling authors in the comics industry today. Brian Michael Bendis, Jason Aaron, Jonathan Hickman, Ed Brubaker, and Matt Fraction. This unprecedented assembly of acclaimed writers is joined by a trio of the industry's superstar artists, John Romita Jr., Olivier Coppel, and Adam Kubert. The Avengers and X-Men have learned that the all-powerful embodiment of both death and rebirth, known as the Phoenix Force, is on a crash course for Earth, and it needs a new host to unleash its immeasurable power. But what is the shocking decision tied to the Phoenix's return that will pit the Avengers against the X-Men? And when good friends become bitter enemies, what does that mean for the future of the Marvel Universe?
You know, when you read that, it doesn't sound like nearly the train wreck that we all think it's going to be.
That sounds like a lot of hyperboil.
It sure does, but...
Pop culture event?
Yeah, that phrasing caught me
as
well. Wait,
what's the source?
That's Marvel's press release.
Wow, Marvel, the way they wrote that just... makes it. Did they just call us like superstar writers and artists of comic book?
First of all, it's marketing hype. You have
I don't like it. Anybody does that.
Continuing, we brought together the biggest writers, biggest artists, and biggest characters for the biggest story we've ever told.
Big.
This is the kind of high octane, action packed story that fans demand, while also having a profound effect on every character involved and reshaping the Marvel universe in its wake.
Okay, I wanna say my thoughts on this.
That's why we're here, Adam.
I jumped in real quick. I'm like half and half on this book. Like, I'm excited for it because it seems like a lot, but I think I just get more upset with how Marvel issues stuff. They bring stuff out. They bring out all these books that tie into this book that tie instead of just having just a simple event. They make it into this huge thing. That, you know, you can't really budget out what you're wanting to do. For me, I don't come in and buy every comic book, you know, that they have. Because if I do, I'd be living on the street.
That's weird.
I know I confuse a lot of people here. But they just tie so much thinking that I'm going to go in and get all these books that it makes it so complicated for me to just go out and read it.
They're expecting you to drop all of your subpar DC books.
But that's not going
to
happen. What I'll do is I'll start dropping my Marvel books.
So unless they've changed their statement, they announced early on that this was going to have the one AVX, the battle book, and only tie into the...
Well, wait, AVX and the battle book. So you have 12-issue series here.
Yeah, and then six-issue fighting.
Plus, it's going to tie in through the four Avengers books and however many X-Men books.
Right there, they just complicated
said all the core Avengers books. So it's going to be, we know it's new Avengers.
Yeah, but they do tie things in that you do.
Secret
Avengers Academy.
You can read the main mini.
There's like 9
X-Men and not have to read anything else.
But see, they didn't do that with Spider Island. See, with Spider Island,
yes, they did.
No, they mentioned Venom. And Spider Island, I still have no idea.
But you don't have to read it. It's a smaller franchise. You want to know more about it.
But they had Captain America.
But they're not even
all
having the battle in the actual book.
They have a separate book for the battling.
Yeah, and that's like, odd.
How are you to know what's going on if all the cool fighting's in a whole
It's almost
book?
Like if I'm going to use Harry Potter as an example. They took Harry Potter, they wrote the book, but the battle with Voldemort is in another separate book just to have another separate book. And that's their reasoning for doing it.
Hang on, just Nick's raising his hand.
That's just such a nerdy thing. I just wanted to take that. That's like in Harry Potter, we're Voldemort.
It was on my mind at the time.
But I think they've said that the battle book isn't going to be really story driven. It's just going to be the battle scenes, the fight scenes. If you don't want to read,
does that mean there's not going to be any battles in the regular book?
No, probably it's less
the
of
other
them.
One, the other one probably just expands on them.
Yeah.
One book's just going to be the interviews.
Yeah. I could see Avengers being that. So, how was the fight? You know, the aftermath.
It was the same with Spider Island. They mentioned the stuff with coffee. Venom, and they say, you know, this happened in Venom. If you want to read more about that and you want more in depth, go read Venom. But you don't have to read Venom.
Yeah, but you have to.
But then when Venom shows up halfway through Amazing Spider-Man,
that's what you have.
Why is Venom
Captain America? I was going to say that you guys are living in the past, but comics have been like this for decades. This is nothing new. This is how comics are written.
Well, I'm not saying that. I don't see that in when I'm reading. Like Batman.
Did you not read Brightest Day, Blackest Night,
I'm not saying that stuff. I'm saying right now that DC has changed. I haven't seen that. And I think it's time for Marvel to change.
How are you comparing an event to an ongoing?
Yeah.
That's like an apple to a car.
Hey, because it ties into your own.
Relaunch was an event.
At least we get Avengers
Relaunch before we started.
Yeah, but it's 6 months in.
Batman's an event.
But it is.
It's not an event book, you already said.
But it's tying into their ongoing. It's tying into Avengers. It's tying into
references.
Secret Avengers.
That's
it's going to tie into New Avengers.
Personally.
And it's going to tie into all their ongoing X-Men books.
Iron Man.
So
they
it is
the core. They didn't say all.
Yeah, but...
But every DC event has done
well,
that. Every Marvel
all the
event.
Non-core books.
No, you're talking about past DC. I'm talking about past.
But there hasn't been an event in past now to know what they're going to do.
We don't know.
Yeah, but
come on. You're telling me DC's not going to have an event in 6 months?
No, I'm not saying that DC is doing anything right. I'm saying if DC does that now, I'd be irritated too. But I think both companies have to restructure.
You started your comment off with, I hate how Marvel does. Well, so does everybody. Did you read Infestation? That tied into like 8,000 books.
Well, I should say only people that are on the internet and read a ton of books and talk about it. Most normal people that read comics, they want all this crap. They really do. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and you could have read Spider Island self-contained. Venom showing up. He shows up. Is it out of character for a Spider-Man book to have Venom in it?
No, it wasn't that I didn't like how they... there was no need to even mention it.
But you didn't have to read the Shang-Chi book. You didn't have to read the Cloak and Dagger book. You didn't have to read the Streets of New York book or whatever that was.
Yeah,
some of those were
good. The Cloak and Dagger book was awesome.
The Cloak and Dagger book was good.
Anything
then the whole beginning of that what I forget which issue it was, but that fourth part of the issue, the whole beginning of the book... talked about that.
The whole beginning of the book, it was one page.
But it was one page.
My problem is not multiple crossovers.
They had four panels on
the one page. My problem is putting the battles in one book and the story in another
book. I would have rather them had to publish the book at 40 pages or whatever and just put the battles in the same
book. They did that with Fear Itself, too, because most of the stuff, like the guys with the hammers showed up, but like you never saw Atuma. He wasn't in the Fear Itself core at all.
Is that what all those
neither
minis
was
were?
Colossus wasn't in there. Absorbing Man wasn't. They weren't
wasn't
in that. The seven issues, they weren't in them at all.
Juggernaut.
Other than Juggernaut and
Colossus
Absorbing
didn't
Man.
Have a horn.
Maybe that's why
whatever.
Fear Itself
but,
wasn't as. Good.
But there really wasn't that any fighting in Fear Itself until the last issue.
But I didn't read the Deep or whatever that miniseries was, and I had no problem following.
No,
Fear
but I'm
itself.
Just saying they showed all these guys.
Yeah,
in the
beginning,
that's
what you're saying.
Then you never saw them again.
But you know though, maybe that's why we weren't as thrilled with Fear Itself, you know? Yeah. Half the fun of these events is the bit... It's like you say Avengers versus X-Men, it's this... If you're going to do it, okay, fine. It's the whole sitting around with your action figures, this guy fighting this guy. But if you're going to take that out of the main book, which maybe they're not, maybe it's expanded, it just sounds odd.
It does sound odd. It does... It reads different to have something that's being called the battle book, and then the 12
like
issue storybook.
To be reading issue one, get like to page 8, and see an editor's note for this battle, go see...
Yeah, I mean, I highly doubt they're going to do it like
yeah,
that.
See, I think it's going to be more like when you buy a Blu-ray and you watch the deleted scenes. That's what I think the battle book is going to be. No, I don't know. I've noticed.
Yeah. None of us have had any idea. That's yeah. my thoughts.
I was hoping the Marvel solicits would be out by today so we'd have an idea of what how many books it's going to go in and stuff. Probably going to come out tomorrow.
Well, they're not done with their retreat yet, so they don't know. No,
it's usually Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it ended today.
DC came out today.
No, I mean, no, DC was out yesterday.
Was it yesterday? Okay, yeah. I was looking. I didn't see
normally
it.
Normally,
the new Batman Black and White statue is the new 52 by Jim Lee. It's pretty sweet.
I saw that. I'm glad to have another Jim Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful of yours, okay?
Yeah. I'll have to buy it again.
Yeah. Speaking of Jim Lee, I find
he's late a week. I think everyone's complaint, and this has been something, and like I said, I don't read a lot of Marvel, so I didn't really feel the pinch, but the thing about the Fearless, or the Fearless, the Fear itself was, it was a 7-issue mini with, I don't know how many...
15.
A lot.
Were there 15 minis?
We figured out that there was the same number of Flashpoint books as there were...
So there was 15 minis Fear that itself, were standalone minis,
yeah,
and then it also tied into all the books that everybody was reading. It went into Avengers, it went into... All those books.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, now, for me, if I want to read an event, I don't necessarily... Now, if the event matters and the event is important and it's going to spill in, I just don't want to reread the same thing from five different perspectives and read, you know, read the battle, read the issue, and then go to read Avengers and go read Wolverine and the X-Men and have it all be the same.
I have the opposite problem that Adam has. Adam's saying he has to read all these books to make everything fit. My problem is... It interrupts Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm reading Iron Man and not reading Fear itself, there were five issues that made no sense to me.
Yeah.
See, and that's the other thing where I think a lot of people are jaded about this, and I'm not, is one, I did not read Fear itself. Two, the Marvel books that I get and that I really enjoy didn't tie into Fear itself, so I didn't care about it.
Right, but for the people that do, like, if you're loving Iron Man but you don't want to read Fear itself, well, you just lost six issues. Same with Avengers that... I can't remember the last time Avengers was its own book, really.
Right now.
Right now for these three issues until... But that's part of what I was thinking about, I'm really enjoying this new Dark Avengers aspect. But I know it's not going to last because in two issues it's going to be over because the Avengers now has to tie in with this new event.
Unless the Dark Avengers play a role in this.
I can't see that happening. I mean, that would be really bizarre if it's...
Because they're really building up this whole Hammer reinstitution.
Right, and I'm liking this, and I want it to... I mean, I feel what I've read so far is just the tip of the iceberg, and it can go so much more, but I also have the knowledge...
In 2 months.
It's going to be derailed come August, or April, when all of a sudden it's going to be Avengers.
You're saying
versus...
two issues. I mean, it's April. That's at least eight more books.
Well, no.
Because we're going to double ship Avengers.
It could be. But I'm just saying, so it's February, March, and then April comes. Right. So that's what I'm looking
at.
And
I feel that way about Wolverine and the X-Men. I've been loving Wolverine and the X-Men by itself. But
you know that has to get derailed.
Yeah.
You know.
And then it's like, and I'll
so it'll be now Wolverine versus the X-Men.
And I'll be fanboyish for a second, because I was ranting about this earlier today. They keep showing this art for AVX. That implies that Wolverine is on the side of the Avengers, but all of Wolverine's X-Men, not just Scott's X-Men, but the ones that went with Wolf, are all on the side of the X-Men.
Yeah.
Like, Wolverine and Beast, they show on the Avengers side. And I know...
But Iceman and Armor are shown on the X-Men
side. And I know there are certain writers at Marvel that would tell me, hey, Wolverine's been an Avenger for 10 years, but he's been an X-Men for 30. So... Why in Avengers versus X-Men are you drawing Wolverine?
I guess we don't know what the dispute is about yet.
All questions shall be
answered. It's about Phoenix.
Based on what I heard about it, though, it makes sense for Wolverine to be on the X-Men side. Because
he's going to be fighting with all his students from his school. From the images they've shown.
Like Iceman. Iceman is one of his right-hand men.
But is that going to derail that
Iceman.
Book?
But in the latest issue of Wolverine and the X-Men, him and Iceman have already had issues.
Mm. Yeah, towards the very end.
Where he tells him about X-Force and
Iceman. Right.
Well, also because of the angel thing.
With Warren, yeah.
Yeah, more the angel.
Which leads to some questions we'll get to now. Just, I printed out the battle.
Well, and even...
The promo
even
battle
Beast.
Images.
In one image, they show Beast on the Avengers, and in another, he's fighting Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Luke Cage.
Who does a lot of fighting Cage?
So it's just inconsistencies. But so we'll go through the battles just to
promo art,
have some fanboy exactly. stuff.
I mean, there's two things.
Well, they're still writing it. That's why they're at the summit.
It could be promo art, or it could be that we just don't know what the conflict is, and they'll explain it all to us.
But you got to think. Well, hang on, I'll pass Phoenix it. They imply Phoenix, which implies Jean, which you would think Wolverine would be on the side of Jean, which from the art, Jean seems to be who the Avengers are fighting against.
And the thing, too, like with Beast, we don't know any of the story yet.
Right.
There could be something during the course of it that causes him to change sides.
Right, but we're just, like I said, we're just looking at the promo.
Beast has been pretty anti-X-Men for the last year or so.
Who would win scenario on this podcast?
Not
on
the pod. No. not so much. No, I don't want to do that, but I want to talk about the battles just the feasibility of them. But my one concern is when I see 12 issues, Marvel's really good at beginnings because they have all the ideas and everything. And then they, like, even Fear Itself got lost a little bit early on because, like, a pacing issue. It's like, oh, I have all this space to fill. Let's fill. So it scares me seeing they have 12 issues to fill. Will the pacing kind of wander?
I want
to
like this. I want to be so excited when it starts that I rush back to get all the minis I didn't get, which is what I did with Flashpoint. But not Fear Itself. Like, Fear Itself, I just picked and chose.
In my mind, I'm seeing this a certain way, and I'm excited for it. The promotion for it so far is not helping it. Mm-hmm. That's what's killing me right now. It's the promotion is actually the opposite of what I'm hoping
for. Well, it really does right now. It does have the potential to be the coolest thing Marvel's done in decades, or it could be this colossal train wreck.
Right, and that's the thing. I don't want everybody out there listening and, you know, on the internet to be, oh my god, this is going to be the most terrible thing before it even comes out.
I hope it's
good. And people don't even buy it then. You know?
Well, here's the good news. If it is terrible, Colin will give you a quarter for your book to sell.
Yeah.
at least give it the chance to try it. If you don't like the first issue or something, then that's it. You're done. Yeah.
You know, I will just say, based off of watching people asking about Cable versus the Avengers, I think the sales will at least be okay from the start. Because it's like Nick says.
And we're going to have a party.
We all rant about the miniseries, but the vast majority of the comic reading public that doesn't follow every minutia on the internet is probably... they probably don't even know about it yet, but they'll be buying
it. You know what? If this didn't work, they wouldn't do it.
See,
that's what you, yeah.
At the end of the day, they're a business. If this didn't work, they wouldn't do it. So,
or they won't do it that much longer if it doesn't work.
True. No, that's very true.
Yeah.
If they stick to the 12-inch issue main series and then do the battle series and just tie it to the Avengers and X-Men's books, which, you know, these are the big two factions in it, I'm fine with that. I don't... Like you're
saying. But they got to keep it out of Thor. They got to keep it out of Iron Man.
But that's my concern, that it's going to spread to the key Avengers, the key X-Men books.
Like, what's but a also, key Avengers? And like,
well, right, but I mean, like,
right
Wolverine.
Now they're saying core Avengers.
Right.
So that would be.
So is it going to be Cap, Thor, Iron Man?
That would be anything with Avengers in the title.
Right. But that's my concern, that it's also going to spread to those.
And if it does spread, then that's a mistake.
But Tom Brevoort's my buddy.
As far as I'm concerned.
But and then my other concern is, are we also going to get Avengers versus, you know, you could see, you know, Runaways, Young Avengers book like they always do, a Homefront book or Frontline book.
I,
you know, are we going to get all
I
that
hope
stuff
that
we normally get?
They stick to what they said, and they said they're not doing this.
I
they
hope so,
explicitly
but,
called out no Homefront, no okay. Home.
Did they say that or just no?
They said no Frontline book.
No
Frontline?
Okay, cool.
So, but they also
that's
said,
why I was hoping we'd have the solicits.
They
so
also
know.
Said no miniseries, and then they introduced the Battle book.
Yeah.
So. You know, you got to hope that they stick to their guns at some point.
It's a macro series.
Okay, so let's get to the battles, only just for the feasibility.
Actually, it's called a maxi series.
And this number one is one of my most controversial. I didn't put it number one. It just, when I was putting this together, that's how it ended up. But, so everybody can see, Archangel versus Daredevil.
Angel versus Devil.
And that's a really neat idea, except there is no more Archangel.
Well, wait, which, is it Archangel in the cover?
It's Archangel.
It is
clearly Archangel.
Yeah.
So, I understand the Angel Devil. I think that's great. First of all, Archangel would wipe the floor with Daredevil,
mm-hmm.
just with his powers, but there is no more Archangel. So but I don't know how that can work.
Two and a half months, man.
But when was this promotional art done, too?
Oh, I have no idea. But I'm just saying. But
planning that. I mean,
but this was emailed to me yesterday, so that's what I'm saying.
Why give away the Uncanny X-Force ending to, you know?
But it's also
they just announced that yesterday.
Yeah,
they just put that out.
Yeah, but that promotional art might have been done 6 months ago.
But if it was, why use it?
Who would win?
Yeah, Archangel. I mean, how could he not? But
Daredevil's got an underdog. But I mean,
he's got searing blades that he can throw at him. You know,
but Daredevil can dodge him.
Yeah, you can only dodge for so long. Especially right now, he's in midair.
That was my problem. Was that aerial advantage thing?
Haven't you ever looked at an Archangel thing? He never shoots just one.
It's always like a thousand.
Daredevil has ducked Bullseye's blades for years.
Sure, but that's also one at a time.
Well, okay, yeah. And, but what I also find ironic is that one of Angel's various mutant abilities, which he has several, are his enhanced eyes, which I think is really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
His eagle sight.
But that,
he also
that
has
was
hollow bones and weighs 80 pounds.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, because it just, when I saw that, because I'm like, because it wasn't only in X-Force, it was also in Wolverine and the X-Men, where Angel's been reintroduced. So that just struck me as.
But
that,
here's how Daredevil wins that fight. Archangel comes back, but he still has no idea how to use his powers.
Oh, okay.
And Daredevil uses his experience.
And bonks him in the head with his belly.
But at the key moment, Daredevil whacks him upside the head.
And he gets Apocalypse
comes back and cuts his head off.
All right, we're in fanboy territory.
Tell me you didn't quiver just a little bit when I said that. I'll just put this out there. The other thing with that, too, is we've seen the return of regular Angel from this. There could be an Archangel out there, too.
What?
Well, no, because the Apocalypse.
Mind blown.
Because they shot Apocalypse in the head, now they have.
They clone Apocalypse. Yeah. Why not clone Archangel?
What's the kid's name now? I can't remember. Genesis. Yeah.
Evan Sadnor.
They don't even necessarily need to.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Evan. It could. Well, life seed could have just split them.
It's Clangel.
But I Clangel. Do think I do think the most likely explanation is this is old art or it's art that someone did before knowing
it's
the.
It's Clangel.
Well, it could be, but then don't send it out. That's all.
My explanation is this was done by marketing and had no editorial, and they were like. Okay, these are the names of the characters and what they look like. Make some funny pairings.
Yeah.
All right, so the next one I like.
Done.
Yes, I agree. So we have Colossonaut. Colossonaut versus the Thing.
Thing's going to win.
That's fine. No problem there.
Thing always wins.
If it was Colossus versus the Thing, I'd take that, but not Colossonaut.
But see, that's the whole thing.
He's got the helmet on, man.
But the Thing always wins when he's the underdog.
That's not true. Hulk would mop the floor.
And who knows how what powers does the Thing have now that he died and was reborn?
When did he die?
During when he was. Remember, Thor threw his hammer through him, and Franklin brought
cool
him back.
If they had, Jason Todd,
that's only
Robin,
if Layla brought
900
back.
Numbers that we could call and vote.
I'm hoping. I'm wondering if they'll have a website.
It don't need to be the website
or
text.
DC?
Yeah. What?
Did you guys do the Marvel versus DC voting?
Yeah, that's
back
what
in
I'm
the
talking
day?
About. Yeah.
All right, what's next? Colossus.
Next, Colossus versus Hawkeye.
Cyclops.
Cyclops versus Hawkeye. Right,
sorry.
I don't see how Hawkeye has a chance.
If he shoots him
unless Colossus's aim goes away like it did in the Captain America cover.
Doesn't one eye. Doesn't Hawkeye have an adamantium arrow? You shoot an adamantium arrow right between the eyes.
I'm pretty sure
he does.
Regular arrow.
But doesn't he have like one? Isn't that the whole trick of it? Is he's got
he has the punching bag arrow. Oh,
no, that's
adamantium.
But just that's one I just it's like unpowered guy versus guy with force blasted whatever he looks at.
Not to mention all the covers seem to show Cyclops versus Cap.
Yeah.
Well, that's the leader.
Leader versus leader. Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one it would be a good
Hulk
battle.
Hulk versus Emma, two-handed Emma. But and which Hulk is that? Is my other question. But
it's Green Hulk.
Well, it's Green Hulk, but that looks like old Green Hulk, not.
Bearded Hulk.
Bearded, long hair Hulk
Hippie
guy.
Hulk.
That's because this is promotional images and not, you know.
Oh, standard Hulk versus current Hulk. Gotcha. And purple Hulk. Pants.
I have a real issue with the next one.
Well, wait, who would win this one? I think Emma.
I don't know. How?
Because she has to tell Hulk to punch himself. But no,
but
she would have to D-Diamond to do that.
Yeah.
And Hulk smash.
Yeah. And I don't think
Hulk and pretty much anybody else in the Marvel Universe, it's not really much of a contest.
No, because Hulk really doesn't need his mind to beat her.
I'm still thinking Emma. But no, it's the one after that I have like, is just, to me, a stupid...
Iron Man versus Magneto? He's not kicking his knee in
that. That, to me, is like Magneto snaps his fingers, Iron Man's crushed. And
Iron Man's new suit technically isn't metal,
it's organic, because it's in his body.
I don't even read Iron Man.
I read that online.
Who knows?
Maybe it's a polymer.
But it's probably not iron. Magneto can only affect iron.
It can affect any metal. Any metal has
a power. I thought it was magnetic. That's thanks to us. Not every metal's magnetic.
Sir Degnan.
Not in the Marvel universe.
Most metal has some level of iron in it.
Or there could be metal in a car next to it.
He affected the iron in someone's blood in the movie. Come on.
Well, no, not really, because it wasn't the iron in his blood. The guy kept bringing... Didn't somebody keep bringing him, and he had eventually made little pellets that he shot the guy?
Well, yeah, she injected him with...
She injected one of the guards with something.
But it wasn't just the iron in their blood.
Didn't Morrison do that in his run? Like, somebody...
I still haven't read it.
Introduced that whole idea of Magneto affecting the iron in your blood and debilitating.
But Iron Man has a polymer suit now.
Nano Sentinels in Professor Xavier's blood, and that was what it was allowing him to walk.
Nano Sentinels?
That's right.
All right, what do we got next?
Beast versus Luke Cage. I really don't know.
Which Beast?
He's going to fight.
Is this Dark?
No, it's not Beast. No, it's Beast.
Is it the Cat-Faced Beast?
Yes, Cat-Faced Beast, which makes me think, he's on the side of the X-Men, but like I said, in that picture for number one where they're singing, he's on the Avengers side.
Scratch his bulletproof skin? I mean, what's he going to do?
Outthink him to death.
My question isn't so much who wins, but who cares? In this particular battle.
Exactly.
This is a battle
I'm rooting for Beast.
It's like they Rochambeau and go get a beer.
Now, this one is probably my favorite of the batch. Ms. Marvel versus Rogue.
Yes.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does.
I mean, the only better one would be Marvel versus Mystique, but...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was where Mystique came from. That was her
Who
first
impersonated Ms. Marvel?
Yeah, but Rogue stole Ms. Marvel's powers. That's how she got her powers.
That was...
this is the Grudge Match.
Yeah, this is the one that could get ugly.
Yes.
Yeah, and this makes great, because they've been enemies for a long time.
And Psylocke versus Black Widow.
That's a good matchup, evenly, you know.
Two ninjas.
Yep.
Black Widow's kind of a ninja.
I give Psylocke the slight edge just because of her telepathy.
Yeah,
and her telekinesis, right?
And her
did you ever notice all the mutants are really overpowered? Like she's got telepathy, telekinesis, and she's a trained ninja.
That's why they're an extinction team.
And yet somehow the Black Widow will fight her to within an inch of her life.
She's got her stingers.
That's because they'll pull Bucky, the non-LMD Bucky, out.
Bone Claw Wolverine beat Lobo in a fight, so whatever.
Yeah, but it took place behind the bar. So.
Yeah, it did.
Well, see, that's another disappointing thing about Deathstroke. Really, the first arc with Liefeld's going to be him fighting Lobo?
Dude, Lobo's awesome.
Considering Deadpool's a Deathstroke clone. So.
Well, right.
Okay, next one, another good one. Spider-Man versus Iceman.
Firestar shows up in the middle and stops the fight.
Aren't they amazing friends?
They are amazing friends. So
isn't it hilarious though that that one's the one that seemed everything the people on the internet had the most problem with? Like, those two can't fight. They're amazing friends.
I just don't see Spider-Man actually honestly being in this fight because I don't. I mean, he's an Avenger, yes, but he's not an Avenger. I don't see him going, this is a world-altering thing. He's not a world
that's never
beater.
Been his.
That's not his thing.
Wait till you get the Spider-Man.
Which will probably be his point of view. But that'll probably be his point
three
of view through
month.
The series is all this guilt, like, why am I a part of this?
But
what if
the Phoenix Force threatens humanity?
Right, but Spider-Man's just not that guy.
I don't know if you're
if it's extinction
of human race.
Right.
Which probably means most likely by issue 11, they've both teamed up against the Phoenix.
What?
Yeah. That would happen in issue 11 because it would be like two issues of really good stuff, eight of nothing. Yeah,
that's my fear. It's gonna.
What's the last?
Well, Marvel's really good at beginnings,
yes,
and endings.
Eh.
Well, they rush endings, but yes. the ending of the story itself is good. It's just that they rush the storytelling.
Yeah.
I think
because they lose their way in the middle
because they have to do well. Then they need to announce three prologues.
They have to catch up with.
Oh, I love Marvel. I read more Marvel books than I do DC.
AVX 12A, 12B, and 12C.
All right, what's
the next Spider-Woman versus Gambit. Seems I like see that one ending in bed, you know.
In bed?
Oh, Hawkeye's going to be pissed.
Yeah, because because she's got pheromones, and Gambit has his mutant charm ability.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm saying.
I am getting that book.
But
I'm still trying to figure out what he's throwing if she's standing behind him. So that image in itself doesn't make any sense to me.
He's whipping it backwards.
Like no, he's going forward. His arm's going forward.
I don't like
it. Maybe they're on the same team.
And that's a contortion I don't...
Okay. Well, that was that. That's that whole internet thing. Well, it's
Ramos.
About.
You love Who Murdered Ramos.
Roberto Ramos?
Yeah.
You like him. I think he's all right.
Okay, now this one, perfect. Storm versus Thor. Is Thor back?
Not yet, but apparently he will be.
It's Storm versus Tanneris.
Tanneris, thank you. I thought Tanneris was still around.
Or Clor,
or
Clor, or
yeah,
or Clanneris.
Can you honestly say?
Or hey, watch your language, Mister.
Could you honestly say in this battle that Thor wouldn't just brutalize her? Not because she's not powerful, but because she's fragile.
Could just be because he's a god.
But see,
yeah.
If you want to
yeah,
think
Thor,
about
I don't know who you put
if
against
you
want to
think about somebody that doesn't have any skin in the game, Thor doesn't have any skin in this game.
Like, where's Asgard at this point? Is it on Earth? Where's Asgard?
I don't think it is.
No, it's still above Broxton. It's New Asgardia now.
It might be back.
What, but I thought all the Asgardians were somewhere else, right?
Regular Asgard, and part of them are...
Oh, there are some of them there with it. I thought it was Odin there.
So, like, is that like
himself.
New Mexico in Mexico? Like, Asgard and New Asgardia? All right. But, like, Thor, I mean, what's he care? He's just going to go back to Asgard and watch the human... I mean, that's like a lunch break for him.
Not to mention he's going to be coming back from being dead for 6 months.
There was one scene I kind of, like, it was on the cover of number 2, the one where behind Iron Man kicking Magneto in the knee was Thor reaching for Rogue. And I'm just like, that would be interesting if she absorbed his powers. That
there was
would
a
be,
one of that.
Was there? I'm like,
but
that
would that
would
kill
be,
her? Could she absorb the power of a god?
I don't know, but that intrigued me. Okay, and then the last one with Matt's favorite artist is Wolverine versus Cap.
Who's my favorite artist?
Which JRJR.
Seen this one before.
But
what?
See that, and so that implies Wolverine is with the X-Men.
But see,
that's
true.
Really
well,
you
know
what? I honestly didn't. That
I really,
didn't trigger in my head. You're
I
correct.
I really, really, really need to know what side Wolverine's on before I can decide
but,
how I feel about
that,
this series.
But you're right. Oh. That definitely does imply that he's
that
on the side.
That is a terrible.
Do you know how you find out what side he's on?
Read the book.
That's
there it
actually
is.
A throwback.
Which
to
I will. Don't
classic.
Get me. It's not like I'm not going to be reading it.
Everyone's going to read
Wolverine
the book.
Cover, that Wolverine's face, he looks like a football head or something. Like
is that Romita Jr.?
Yeah, he looks like he's from.
There's your reasoning. The question is, all read number 1, but will we still be there for number 12?
I will.
Yes.
I can't say I will. Fear itself, I read the first 2 and dropped it.
I would get
and
it
the good
if
thing
I
is,
it.
This is going to be twice a month, so if you only have to walk, wait for 1 month.
Colin will buy back those 2 books at 50 cents.
You know, number 1 is a pain because Marvel's doing their usual...
If you 72 order X
variants.
Percent.
Well, the problem is if you order 175% of Fear Itself number 7, you could no. You can order as many as you want of these variant covers, and it's like, so everybody's going to be swimming in these books. That means I have to order 125 regular covers so I can order as many I want of these variant covers that we'll never see until they ship.
Be careful that it's your 175%.
Oh, crap.
And not the
good.
Whole
you're
family.
Right. You're right.
Just,
oh.
Let me throw that out to
yeah,
you real quick
yeah,
before we end
much.
Up with another.
Yeah. Didn't think about that.
And big pile of stuff sitting around.
Speaking of which, they changed their variant pricing to match yours, by the way.
Yeah, you told me that. And then the other thing Marvel is doing, which is very interesting, is they've changed the pricing. I've noticed it only with the blank variants, is we have to pay more for them now.
Yeah, you mentioned that was
the ones I like.
I know.
Which is funny, because you never go to conventions to get sketches on them.
I just think the cover looks cleaner, nicer.
It's white.
I offered a doodle on him, and he always says no.
Very nice.
So, this is going to be surprising to you guys, but I keep hearing about this Deodato cover with Iron Fist and the Phoenix Force.
Ooh, yeah.
I haven't seen it. I just keep hearing it. Like, what is that, an AVX book? Is
it's
that
New Avengers 25. They've already showed us that 24 and 25 will definitely be tying in.
Yes. Two AVX. Okay.
Two AVX, yeah. Because the first one has Cyclops and Cap going at each other with Wolverine trying to break them up. And then the next one has Iron Fist possessed by the Phoenix Force.
And you're saying it's crap?
No, it's just, it's not a great image. It's just like a close-up on him.
It hurts my brain just a tiny bit.
Yeah, and it just seems very odd.
Because I didn't think that was how we got his powers.
Speaking of a great image, did you guys see the cover to Earth's Mightiest Number 2 from Bagley? That is a nice cover. Oh, come on.
How he gets his power?
I thought he got it from his training and his chi and everything, and now apparently he gets it from the Phoenix Force.
Yes, they're tying Iron Fist in. Well, they're tying him into the mythology. According to the blurb and the cover, that's what they're.
Yeah, Diodatus said something about doing. One of his tweets was something about this shows the connection between Iron Fist and the Phoenix Force. Maybe that's why the side switch. Maybe it goes into Iron Fist instead of Hope.
Well, the Phoenix Force is coming to Earth to find a host. Everybody's just assuming it's Hope.
Okay. Yeah. Well. I think
during the course of this could go through multiple people.
And hopefully
like the Captain Universe power.
Maybe Spider-Man gets the Phoenix Force.
That would be.
And then weird. Odin makes him claw. No, wait, no, I'm sorry.
No, that's Moon Knight.
Quentin Quire gets the Phoenix Force.
Scarlet Witch is going to end
Quentin
up
Quire. The Phoenix
Force.
I can't wait for the Moon Knight issue 13 AVX banner.
Not going to happen.
It's a core book.
It is not.
It's a Bendis book, though.
It is, like, and I agree with Nick on this. This is an Avenger. This is a Bendis book that he just likes to do, and I don't think he'll screw it up.
He'll keep it separate, just like he did with Daredevil, just like he did, well, by mandatory of Alias. There are certain books he does that he keeps to the side. I mean, he's kept Powers to the side so much he doesn't even write it.
It's being lettered, yes. It's been being lettered for 3 months now, but
I thought
it's
he
being
said
lettered.
It was being was off to the printer.
Yeah, sure is.
On Twitter if you go back, he said, like two tweets ago, he said, the TV show isn't squashed, there's still stuff coming, but in the meantime, read the comic. And I'm like, that's hysterical. What
did you say two tweets ago? What time frame is that?
Yeah, it's a measurement of time.
I don't mind that cover so much. He does look like he's taking a crap.
Though. Yeah, I'm just saying. It's kind of
an homage to the Bob Layton Iron Man pooping cover.
What?
Oh, okay. I must have missed the Bob Layton pooping cover.
It was a 1 in 200. It was a 1 in 200, man.
The statue I bought of Bob Layton, he's like...
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Don't really consider that the Bob Layton pooping cover.
Yeah,
but it's funny that you brought up the Bendis Daredevil, because that was one thing I was thinking, just to kind of go into, when we were talking before, it was a couple podcasts ago, about Bendis's definitive Avengers run, and that was one of the things I was thinking about with this, and the constant events, is Bendis's acclaim is like on the Daredevil run, that was like 60-some issues, you have Straczynski's great run on Thor that people really liked. And it's like you had these. We don't get that anymore because everything's interrupted by events.
That Thor one was just 2 years ago. Since I've been reading it,
yeah, but it was an uninterrupted run of books where it seems like Avengers every 6 months were getting hijacked for an event.
Wasn't it Fallout of Civil War?
Yes,
it was the Fallout of something where Thor.
It wasn't the fall. No, because he died long before that.
Right?
So
85.
So that brought him back, but it was
1985?
Pretty much
Thor.
No, volume two, number 85. It was a Mike Oeming issue.
I was bagging like 2 years worth of comics the other day, and the number of different banners and storylines that have gone across Avengers in 20 books, which is really like 22 when you throw like point ones in there and stuff. But it went from Heroic Age to I think it said Shattered Heroes ones.
That would be the most recent one.
Yeah, Fear Itself. There's been in less than 2 years the number of different stories that have gone into
Dark
the Avengers
that,
book.
Yeah,
it was before
but
the relaunch.
It's just unbelievable. About, when you think about these, claimed runs, they're uninterrupted. And I just keep thinking you even have all the X-Men's books starting Regenesis, and then it's gonna not derail, but it's gonna feed into this. And you just
Regenesis isn't like there's things that I consider crossovers and other things I consider like marketing banners.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's what
like Heroic Age
was.
Is
like, just a marketing.
There's no
banner.
Story to Heroic Age. Like
no.
Nothing happened in the Heroic Age.
Would you say Jeff?
It was the start of something.
More definitive
it was supposed to start
Avengers
a new age, wasn't it?
Than Bendis.
I'd say no.
No, and not not run, but I was just thinking, you
really
had these
good,
nice long
really
runs where they could
run.
Tell a lot of stories, keep a narrative flowing, and it just seems they keep getting interrupted like all the Avengers, you know, the talking head issues, which nobody really liked. And then we get a little brief run where he's able to go with it, and then we're getting into the next event. I'd like to see just, you know, let the writers write. Let them experiment and say what...
You know the sad part of it is, though? There are books out there that have tied into these events that the writers are actually good enough to make their storyline tie into the event instead of having to derail their storyline.
Other than Peter David, who?
Yeah.
Gillen's done it.
Yeah, he's always cleaning up Fraction's messes. So
but Journey in the Mystery is Gillen. It tied into Fear Itself, and he kept it very much.
I don't like the Norse mythology,
but like Iron Man, I think got
Fraction
didn't do well with the tie-in.
It's the writer,
right? But I wish they'd let Gillen just tell his Journey in the Mystery story. Don't make him have to fit it into these different things.
Quite frankly, and I usually am the one defending Marvel, but quite frankly, it's the Marvel architects that can't seem to keep their books straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not off.
But, like, everybody's enjoyed Daredevil, and I hope it continues on. But if all of a sudden it has to go into, not necessarily this event, but some event that they come... Oh, no, it's crossing over into some event that's coming up. Punisher and Daredevil. Ghost Rider
Punisher
or something?
And Punisher and Spider-Man.
Okay. So it's, you know, hopefully he can keep it going. Mm-hmm. It's almost like interruptions.
Speaking
like,
of Daredevil, maybe like, Adam will pay attention here since, you know...
He's tweeting Bendis to aggravate him.
Spider-Man last week was phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading this.
And
this
I hope the Daredevil follow-up is just as good.
But just a little... I have no problem with a little two-issue thing. It's just... Because I was thinking so many of the fun books that I've enjoyed over the years just kind of went and maybe went in a direction they weren't planning because all of a sudden... Well, they did a little side story that they really liked, and then they could go that way and things. Thinking like Claremont X-Men and things like that, where so much of the rest of the stuff recently has to fit into a narrow window.
And you were saying earlier when you were talking about how, you know, back in the day, this was how they did crossovers, nothing's changed. The only thing that I think has changed that I wish they would decide to do one way or the other is, back in the day, it seems like a lot of these big events were self-contained in the sense of, if it was a 12-part crossover, it went through X-Men, Uncanny
right,
X-Men,
like
Avengers,
Agenda,
and
Agenda, and things like that.
And then it was no smaller, which I agree with you, but it was the packaging and presentation was a little different.
You mean how G.I. Joe's doing it right now, where there's that Cobra Command
there's
part
one
that's going
over
across
our,
each book? Yeah,
that's how I like it. Now, I have no problem with them doing even Execution minis and a maxi series. I just wish they would do one or the other. The thing I hated most about Fear Itself is that half the crossovers were minis, and the other half were in the titles, like Iron Man.
Civil
I just
War
wish they would
the
do it one way or the other. That
Civil War
well,
was
I,
the same
I actually
way.
Agree with that. I would rather see it done one way or another, either
ever,
be with the main titles or be a miniseries.
You ever notice
don't
with Marvel,
it,
though,
mix and match.
Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and Runaways never tie into any ongoing book they have. They are always their own miniseries.
Right. But that's what you say. Either tie it in or do the mini. Do it one way or the other. Don't
For
mix.
Some reason, they always avoid putting it in those three books. They always have their own minis. Whereas they'll disrupt Iron Man. Because you won't see a Fear Itself Iron Man book.
Right.
But you'll never see Fantastic Four having a Fear Itself banner on it.
Right. But how during the 6 month, or, you know, like you said, is Iron Man not going to be the issues of Iron Man not going
to
tie in with
I
it?
I have no
you
idea.
Know, that's what I'm saying.
I would
that's
like to
my concern
I'd rather
that they
put
do
the
that as well.
Iron Man on hiatus for 3 months.
Yeah.
Don't put an Iron Man book out while this is going on if it doesn't make
Six
sense.
Months. Of course, then when it comes back, you still have the same trouble. Where was the story?
Well, and this is where...
And that happens no matter what.
They need a logistics department because they screw
like
up.
You said, the architects and the way the stories just start branching, and before you know it's out of control.
Yeah.
Marvel's horrible at shipping, right? I'll admit that as much as the next guy. They need a logistics guy. Like, Penn State has an industrial engineering program. Let's go hire a few of these people so you can schedule your books on time. But, like, wrap up an
article. Pretty sure UPS does that. They're pretty good at logistics.
Wrap up.
Shipping
go Brown.
Whole another issue. Yeah.
So, hey, well, might as well veer on to that, because I know Sean had posted some stuff online about that he changed his position on the double shipping a month of books, or shipping, you know, even worse, shipping two issues on the same day.
Yeah.
So, Sean, take it away, because I have a little anecdote to add to that, depending on which way you go.
Here is my...
when this was first announced that they were going to double ship and even triple ship some books, my first thought was, eh, no big deal. You know, if it really becomes a money situation, I'll take one of the titles I'm getting that's sort of an auxiliary title and just stop getting it to make room for my main titles. And I've given this a lot of thought over the last week or two, and especially since the day of Captain America with two Cap issues and a Cap and Bucky issue all on the same day, followed by 2 weeks later, another issue of Cap. Growing up with comics, you know, Marvel has always, mainly in the summer, double shipped stuff. That's been their thing. That's been what they've done. And because of that, I looked at this new double shipping as, eh, no big deal. Here's where the difference comes in. Back then, there was only one Cap title. So if it double shipped, I was just getting more Cap. Yeah, that's great. Now there's Cap, Cap and Bucky, going to be Winter Soldier. If they all double ship, that goes from getting three issues to six. It's a much, much bigger thing. And that what it is Marvel now has started to go towards this every single character has to have a family of titles.
Hey, I've talked about that before.
And that's really where my issue is coming in with this shipping schedule and double shipping books now is Spider-Man, for example. You're already getting two issues of Amazing Spider-Man a month. Now you got Avenging Spider-Man, you've got Venom, you got Scarlet Spider. I don't have a problem with, how do I want to say this? Looking at DC and the way they're shipping stuff with, like, Superman. Okay, you've got a Superman title, you've got Action, you've got Superboy, you've got Supergirl.
Superman once a week, Batman once a week.
Yeah, once a week. Once a month. I'm fine. You know, if you're going to do the family of titles. Yeah.
And just DC's doing that, you're only getting one Superman family book a week.
That's what I guess. Well.
Yeah, same with you're only getting one Bat book a week.
That's
you're
what
only getting one
with Marvel, book. If you're going to do
the core Bat books.
If you're going to do a Cap family of titles.
Because there's a lot.
Right. One comes out 1 week, one comes out the next week, one comes out the other week.
Don't, as opposed to two in 1 week and one in the next.
Yeah. It's just too much. And it. I'm limited in how much I can actually spend on comics.
What?
And when you start doing that.
All right.
I'm to the point now where I'm more likely to drop all three Cap books and say, screw you, Marvel, buy something else that I really want.
Well, see, and that was a point I brought up initially, just saying people have budgets. You can't handle, if you're used to getting one Cap book a month, you can't all of a sudden handle.
And more importantly, if you've got all these issues, if you think about it, if you banked all these issues, that would allow you to keep things on more of a schedule.
That was my, when they came out with three in 3 weeks.
Because when they double ship, obviously they have all of these issues, so why do you ship two in 1 month and go 3 months?
Do one of two things. If you're going to stick with the family of books, have one come out each week. If not, if you're gonna double ship, just have the one title.
But and like I've said, the one neat thing with DC hitting this schedule is people have a different book to look forward to every week, and there's something, oh great, this is Green Lantern week, or this is Justice League week, or whatever it is. Whereas with Marvel, you have no idea what's, and you, unless you're really paying attention to the shipping, you know, what's coming, you don't know what's coming out.
And isn't it amazing we haven't had that for so long, getting that back? Because I know when the DC relaunch started, you know, Matt has said this, it was no big deal at the time to keep the monthly shipping because they had detrained us to expect it. But now that it's back, because this is how it was, you know, back in the day. Right, now that it's back, it's nice.
No, I don't have a problem with, you know, I don't need a strict shipping schedule like DC's doing right now. If a book slips just 1 week or two, I'm fine with that. Just make sure that week you're not putting out another one of the same title.
Or literally the same title.
Yeah, the exact same book.
But one thing I wanted to point out with Cap, where we got 5 and 6 the same day, and 2 weeks later we got 7, my sales on 7 dropped 25% from 6. And I have to think that I don't know why else it could be other than people went, you know what, too much, I'm done.
No, and I can believe that, because to be honest, after the day
because that the story got a little better.
Yeah, the story actually did get a little better.
But I dropped 25%.
But No, I could see that because 5 and 6 came out the same day, and Cap and Bucky came out the same day. And to be perfectly honest with you, I went home and I started reading them. I'm like, oh my god, this is and Cap's one of my favorite characters. This is way too much Cap. I considered coming in and canceling them all.
You get to a point where if you're reading so many titles of the same thing, you start to wonder when, what happened, and where.
And I'm having that problem with Avengers right now, only because the same writer is telling the same story or the similar story in two different titles.
I think that's a crossover. I mean, I'd call.
Well, no, but I'm just saying it's the Dark Avengers, and it's like, well, wait, did that happen in Avengers or New Avengers? And I'm literally confused on that one.
Yeah, I start to get confused with if I read too many Batman books in a row. Like, if I'm a week or 2 weeks behind, and I've actually had to go to the point where I just read. Like, I got to the point where I have to go back and reread like Batman: The Dark Knight 1 through 5. Like, I just have to read them all. To know what's going on.
The stories are different.
The stories are set apart, but you start to wonder where was Clayface and who was where was Two-Face, and
that's actually one of my fears with the Bat stuff, because I stopped getting the Bat stuff when Morrison was in charge of the Batman universe. Since the relaunch of the New 52, I've been getting all the Bat books and all the Bat family books, and I've been enjoying them. But now you've got Batman: The Dark Knight, Batman and Robin, Batman, you know, Detective Comics, Batman Inc. At some point, that's too much Batman.
Inc. is just...
It used to be Legends of the Dark Knight and Shadow of the Bat and Detective and Batman and way more miniseries. I mean, that's the one thing that there isn't going on right now with Batman. There used to be three Batman miniseries going on at the same time.
Well, there's three going on right now.
Robin, Nightwing, Catwoman.
But
I mean, this has been going on since 92.
But I would argue that Batman of all characters and
Penguin,
Odyssey.
I don't know if you can include Odyssey with anything.
I would agree with that, Jeremy, because like Batman and Robin have very unique voices. Yeah. But it's Batman: The Dark Knight, I don't think is really.
But it's
necessary.
Like Bat.
No, I agree.
But Batman fans,
it's definitely the weakest
like,
of all of them.
Yeah.
Batman: The Dark Knight is definitely the weakest.
Here's the thing with Batman fans. What's interesting about Batman the character and why you can support this many titles is that there's so many different iterations of Batman that are all correct.
Yeah.
Batman the Fighter, Batman the world guy, Batman the Gotham guy, Batman with the team. I mean, there's a million of them.
I'll have Jeremy give you a call on Skype, okay? Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I think he still has you. He said it was like not washing his hands.
Scott Snyder?
Yes.
Colin?
Okay, fantastic. Bye.
Wow.
But okay. But going back to the double shipping, one thing I just wanted to bring up real quick was that I don't mind that they're doing it in February, only because February is another 5-week month. And when they did it in November, Marvel kind of took the week off, and DC didn't have anything to ship that week. So that last week in November was so barren. So I don't mind that Marvel's double shipping some of their books in February, as long as they take into account that extra week and those books ship that last week. You having any luck?
Oh, well, I'm resetting. Okay.
Back to the Batman thing real quick while we're waiting for this day. I just don't want like the character to become diluted, because I think that's what's sort of happening with the Green Lantern universe right now. Is they got 4 books, and they really can't support 4 books.
I'll tell you, though, honestly, Batman's been in this many books since the early
90s. Oh, yeah, he has.
And I've bought every one of them,
yeah,
I know.
I bought them back then, too, but Legends of the Dark Knight and stuff.
Shadow of the Bat.
Yeah, they were Batman different Knights. Than your typical Batman book.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I wish we knew somebody that knew more about Batman.
Yes.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
yes.
I can.
Nice.
Well, I cannot express how appreciative we are you calling in.
No, man. Thanks for throwing so much support our way, man. We really appreciate it, all of us.
I figured the guy scared you off with all the tweets.
Not at all, man. No, I appreciate it. For real, like...
Get him back.
You hung up on Scott Snyder?
I see you guys hang up on me.
I don't know what's going on. Sorry. It's doing
put,
it again.
Put Nick on your iPad and put Scott on this one.
Well, I don't have Scott's thingy.
Yeah, now it's doing what it was just doing.
This technology thing.
Hey, Scott, you still...
Hey.
Okay.
I apologize. Hey. We're having tech issues on our end.
Oh, that's okay as long as it's not me.
Don't worry, Jeremy's fired. But this was definitely the one book I set aside yesterday as I was checking in the books and snuck read it yesterday. So what did Grant Morrison send you in the mail that you decided to take? Because that was as Morrison a Batman issue as I've read since R.I.P. And just, yeah. That was fantastic.
Thanks, man. I'm excited that you liked it. It was definitely something that we had to kind of win over DC to be able to do. And to give credit where it's due, it really was Greg's idea to have the book rotate that way.
Oh, cool. Because I had tweeted back to him just saying, how many calls did he have to place to you to say, you want me to draw what?
No, he suggests, I wrote the script and he really liked it. And he's like, what if I make it turn horizontally? And then I was saying, great, go for it, you know? And then he's like, well, what if we turn it all the way? I was like, I love it. Let's do it. And then we had to, you know, convince the rest of the company. But, you know, it was definitely. And then what the funniest part is, like, both of us, I think, we'd seen it in PDF, but we didn't realize how radical it was going to look until we got the issues in our comps. So we both got the issues, and both of us, like, tweeted and wrote to each other really quick, like, I think there was a printing error.
Yeah.
And then we read it and we're like, no, this is actually exactly the way we had planned it. We just, when you see it in PDF and you can actually spin the iPad and it sort of turns the way you want it to, you forget that it's like, it looks that crazy. But it was, yeah, I give DC huge credit for letting us do it. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah, it was very neat when you turned it and all of a sudden you're like, you turn the wrong way on the first time when it's upside down. And you're like, wait, how am I supposed to read these left to right, right to left? One fun thing was a retailer on the CBIA, the Comic Retailer or Comic Industry Alliance, tweeted that all his issues of Batman were misprinted, and someone had to quickly advise him, no, you dummy, they have not.
Yeah, and it was next issue we're going to have like a pop-up book.
Oh, cool. Even better. Something coming through Batman.
And again. Owl that pops up.
An owl.
Oh, scratch
yes,
and
you
sniff.
Open it and a little owl pops up. That would be great. No, again, Greg really deserves the lion's share of the credit, man. He's a genius. I love working with him.
Yeah, after the last time you called in and said it was just going to be a wild ride, you were great. And I love the fact that most of the people sitting at the table haven't read it yet, so I'm enjoying that a lot.
But there was a good number of people coming in today that bought their stack and then went over and sat down and started reading it right away.
Well, I had a little sign on the monitor saying, no, there's no problem with your book, with those words going sideways and then upside down.
Oh,
so they all kind of looked at that and go, well, what do you mean? I said, just read the book. You'll enjoy it. So,
well, thanks, man. I appreciate it again. Like, and the funny thing is, like, you know, this issue is definitely the keystone where we've been building towards it and really excited to get to it because we knew it was coming from the beginning. But a lot of the biggest stuff that's going to happen in the entire story is still coming. So for us, like, it's just exciting to see people respond to something that's sort of the middle. This was the issue where we wanted to say to people, I know I can be a wordy bastard, and I know, like, we've done a lot of build up with Batman, and we've tried to set things, you know, up. But from here forward, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, it's going to be like, you know, this. It's like, you know, full throttle. Let's do it. You know, you have all of the setup and the scaffolding. You sat through it. We appreciate it, and now we're going to try and pay it off as big as we can.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, it was. It's been one of the more fun rides of the new 52. And just to turn a little bit, go to your Swamp Thing that this is Colin, and I'm just a huge Swamp Thing fan. I just, those last two issues of Swamp Thing and Animal Man, especially referencing each other, you guys are really hitting that on all cylinders as well.
Thanks, man. Jeff is one of my best friends in the world. I mean, I talk to him every day, and to be able to do something with him is an honor. I mean, his stuff inspires me all the time. And cool. So we have big stuff coming up, though. I mean, that Dead World thing is going to be a lot of fun. We sort of secluded ourselves over Christmas break on the 27th and 28th and planned it out, like, issue by issue and all that stuff. So I'm really, really excited about it.
How are you handling balancing what looks to be two completely separate but equally epic story arcs between all this stuff, because it looks like this Batman stuff is just kind of growing and overreaching across a lot of the titles, plus the Swamp Thing thing seems equally big.
I try not to think about it.
Fair enough.
I try and just pretend that it's fan fiction pretty much and just right. do it myself and not worry about it.
Now you just scared him off.
Yeah, sorry.
He just quit.
No, it is pretty paralyzingly intimidating when you stop and think about it, because these are the characters that made me want to write in the first place, you know, so to stop and think of, but you're doing stories with them that are larger stories, you know, is really scary, but at the same time, I feel like it's the only way to do them, you know? It's not worth it for me. I don't want to come on Batman and Bruce Wayne and get my one chance ever to write the character and then do an issue, like a two-issue arc.
Right, know, right,
like,
sure.
This is Batman stopping a robbery. Yeah. I'd be like, no, you know, this is the, if I only ever got to tell one Batman story, this would be the Batman story I got to tell with Bruce, you know?
Go ahead, Nick.
Quick question, yeah. Are you having any conversations with Palmati and Gray about All-Star Western, or is that... you know, happening sort of on their own terms?
No, I spoke to Justin twice today. Not at all. I'm very close with them both, and I love what they're doing. That's one of my favorite books in the 52. So we have, I don't want to give anything away, but there's actually is one of the books that's going to be more intertwined with what's happening in Batman beyond just the sort of Night of the Owls stuff a bit. So their history of Gotham, the history of Arkham, all of the stuff that they're doing is so, you know, in my wheelhouse, and the stuff that makes me excited and inspires me that I talk to them constantly.
I'm reading the issues just looking for owls, so.
It's coming. They're coming. We don't want to overkill with people. But the same, though, you know, with Pete Tomasi, and I've become very close friends with him as well, and Gail as well. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun working with them. That's not, you know, shitty DC PR, like just saying, hey, we're all such good friends. We actually get along. I mean, there are people that I don't know well also in the Bayou as well, but luckily the people that are on the main books like Tony Daniel and stuff, I've become more friendly with, you know, through having met them at cons a couple of years ago and then, you know, staying in touch and doing the story together. So doing the idea with this kind of crossover stuff, and the same thing with Animal Man and Swamp Thing, was that we wanted to try and do a different kind of crossover where I realized writing the Owl story that there was a moment where the scope of the attack that the court was going to make on Gotham would be something where I would have to acknowledge the status of the other characters in some way. So the Bat Family. So it really became, if you guys want to tie in, you're more than welcome. And if you don't, no hard feelings whatsoever. I'll just show your character for a minute. So it was a lot of fun because I got to call them up. And, you know, Mike Moritz was great about saying it's an optional event, you know. So luckily a lot of them liked it and were friendly and they wanted to do it. So most of the books are. But there are also books like Tony's Detective, which I spoke to him at length and we talked about some ideas. And then really what he decided was the story he's telling and the stuff coming up with Two-Face and all of it is stuff that he really didn't want to interrupt. And I think that's a great decision and I really respect that. And the same thing with Batwoman. I spoke to, you know, JH and stuff, and they're really doing something that they feel is kind of going full steam right at that time when this thing's coming. So, you know, there are books like that that are going to stay separate and be able to do their own thing independently too.
Cool. Great.
Yeah, no, that is cool, because we've been talking crossovers with previously in the podcast, and it is cool to hear that the editor is being so loose, like giving everyone the opportunity to participate if they want to, but not mandating it. Sounds very cool. And I think that's something that could make for a much better story.
Yeah, well, they've been really good about that. I mean, that was the way it was with Animal Man and Swamp Thing too, this Dead World thing that we're going to do that starts with issue 12. We thought about crossing over with some of the other books and we talked about it, and then we really felt like because of what was happening in some of the other Dark books especially, it would make more sense to keep it just us at that point and you know, just organically to the story. So DC's been really receptive since the new 52 stuff to that kind of limited crossover where people opt in as creators or not. So I've been very happy with that, you know.
Now, the backup story that's going to be in Batman, I just want to clarify, it's not going through all the Bat books, it's just going to be backups in Batman?
Yeah, well, they picked Batman Detective Action, you know, has one already, and okay. I think that's, I can't remember if there's one, if Green Lantern, I think, is getting one. I can't remember if there's another book or not. But and Justice League, you know, as one, obviously. So,
but it's not going to be part one in Batman, part two in Detective.
No. I don't know where that got reported, okay, but cool. That absolutely won't happen that way.
Good.
You want to hear Scott? Do you want to hear our pitch for a backup?
Yeah, sure.
Man of Bats.
Yes.
Man of Bats. I saw it. I love Man. I actually have that action figure.
So do I. Yeah. Oh no, Adam bought mine.
I didn't buy yours.
Okay.
No, I have sold it. My son loves it.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite issues of that run. Yeah,
me too. Grant is probably my favorite guy working in comics today in terms of the big names, just in terms of how daring and ballsy he is no matter what all the time. When he has no reason to have to impress anyone anymore, he just keeps doing it anyway. I mean, it's really inspiring. And talking to him, you're just in like a tractor beam. He's this like bald dude in like a three-piece suit. Even when you're just like sitting casually and stuff, I've met him at just in the two San Diego cons and sat down and they put us together so I could tell him what I was doing in Batman. And he's just like telling you about like the beginning of the Return issue and Ink, you know, right before Ink. And he's just like, and it's like this fucking bat, and it comes through the window, and it just crashes in. And you're like, okay, you know, he's like going on about this National Geographic bat. It's like, it's an old bat, and it's fucking bleeding, and it's just fighting for its life, and it's fighting a bat. And you're like, Jesus, okay, it's a bat. And he's like, and another page of this bat. And you're like, like four pages, you know? And then finally he's like, and then he's staring at you, you know, and you're like, it's like pinpoint eyes, and he's like, and he's like, and then the bat crashes through this window and you see Bruce Wayne sitting there and you realize it's the bat. And I was like, wow, you know, it just blows your mind where you're like, but the thing that's so exciting about him is that he's that excited about it, you know, and he's been doing it for, you know, what, 25 years, you know, 30 years. He's like, and at the same time, he can still sit there and tell you a story that he's so revved up about. That's only five pages of one issue. And that kind of excitement, that far down the line, is it's so inspiring because it makes you see you can, if you're still that exuberant about the art form and about storytelling, when you have nothing to prove anymore, that way, I look up to that a lot. You know, that's what it was like working with Stephen King on American Vampire 2. Those guys are really priceless to get a chance to work with.
You mentioned about how Grant has this exuberance and he doesn't need to, and it's five pages an issue. You had said before that if we like Batman 1, 2, 3, and 4, wait for 5 because he's going to be at his lowest. And I think it kind of has put him at his lowest point. I mean, it kind of has feelings of Batman RIP and, you know, Nightfall when he gets in and all these different things. Yeah. And seems to have a lot of those themes where not only is he at his lowest point mentally, but also at his lowest point physically, where those two things had been apart previously. And you say now, well, wait for 6, wait for 7, wait for 8. Do you have a tough time continuing to build to this, you know, you say it ends, did you say it ends in 12? Do you have a tough time building 11. To this issue 11 and still leaving us? Because I read 5 today and now I just really want to read 6. And I'm sure with 6, I'm really going to want to read 7. So how do you keep it going, each issue ending on a high point, but also ending issue 11 on a high point?
Well, honestly, I'm still learning that. I think in some ways, you know, but for me, I think the key is just knowing what the whole thing is about for you. And in that way, I mean, for me writing it, it's really about Gotham showing Bruce that it is his worst enemy and a stranger to him, even if that might not wind up being true at the very end. That's the argument that the court is making, and that's the argument that Gotham seems to be making to him. And so in that way, if you know that and you think to yourself, what is the absolute scariest possible reveal, you know, given that thesis, it's easy to take it farther emotionally than what happened to him in 5, because in 5, to me, he's broken kind of for the first time. But when he gets out of there, if he ever gets out of there, I guess, but 6, you know, he's in a bad shape in there in 6. But if he gets out, I mean, it won't, to me, he is emotionally and psychologically really damaged by it, you know, in a way where the argument that they're making to him is something that will stick with him. And then it becomes about not just making that argument, but showing it to him in a way that's going to bring everything about all of the things they have at their disposal to bear against him and his whole family and about against the city itself. So in that way, this might be the most, I guess, lonely and solitary, intense attack. But the bigger, once he feels like the city isn't his, then the bigger attacks come in some way too, you know.
Yeah, nice. And the history you've introduced and the history that we get to feel from Greg's art, I mean, these rooms that he's in, this
the pictures, the whole imagery, like the history that is being brought forward that we want to know more about within the writing is also an unbelievably epic scene. I mean, some of these images in this issue are just mind blowing. How deep it seems and the depth to which the history seems to have been there for so long.
Thanks. I mean, that's another thing that really inspires me about what Grant has done, too. But with the history itself, it's something that's always been fascinating to me about Gotham. And I guess I've tried to put some in everything that I've done in the Bat-U and the stuff coming up with the event itself and stuff. The Night of the Owls will touch on a lot of that as well. So we're really – Gotham is the star, and the history of Gotham is one of the real sort of driving forces of the storyline, because what they're saying, the court, is that we've been here 400 years and you've been here, you know, 570, doesn't really matter. You know, like, you're nothing except a blip on the screen, you know? And so in that way, the history and the scope of their hold on Gotham and their relationship to Gotham is part of their weaponry against Bruce. So the history is going to come in bigger ways coming up, I promise, and in really fun ways, in ways I'm really proud of a lot of what the other people have done, too, in the other books and things, too. So I should hop off in a minute.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Have you ever read, Scott, have you ever read Batman Dark Knight, Dark City?
Oh, I love that, absolutely.
That's the only time in recent years, right, or maybe I shouldn't say recent, but 20-some years where the Gotham took, you know, center stage, and I just thought it was... You know, I keep thinking of that story the more I read, you know, your work.
Oh, you're talking about the Milligan. Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
It's amazing how much that plays into some of the stuff that Grant was doing, too, with Barbados and all that stuff. It was really amazing. Yeah, I love that story.
Hey, Scott, a quick question about Severed.
Yeah.
What was the inspiration behind that? Because that is a very twisted story.
I just like to eat children.
Oh.
No, it's the inspiration for that really was this time period that I find really fascinating in American history, where it's sort of the moment when all of this hopefulness is prevalent in the country because of all these new inventions that allow you to sort of reinvent yourself and create new life for yourself, like the car being able to drive places all of a sudden on these new roads and this strange machine where you can just start life over, or cameras where you can reimagine yourself, you know, through pictures or all that kind of stuff, trains that take you all over, the rails expanding. And then at the same time, the scariness of that stuff as well, like the feeling of dislocation and being lost, and the transient population at that time, that both the loss of home, you know, in some ways, and that moment is really interesting. And I thought, well, it would be fun to create a horror story about a character who uses all of those things as a complete predator, a kind of almost Blue Song, you know, Robert Johnson kind of devil on the crossroads who might be supernatural or not. And also a character who sort of represents all of the hopefulness on the other side, and then have them clash. And so I'm really proud of Attila and what my friend Scott have done with that series as well, because it's fun co-writing, man. I really enjoy it, you know, because I feel like they bring stuff to the table that makes it so different than what I would do if I was doing it alone. And it makes me grow a lot as a writer, you know.
Yeah, the ending of the last issue I totally did not see coming.
Well, this coming issue, I promise, it's like, this is my favorite issue, the one coming up, like, hands down. I mean, you know, I don't lie about that stuff in the way that I said, you know, I think Batman 5 is our best issue coming out that's drawn. Greg is drawn through issue 7, so now I might have a new favorite issue, but I'm just saying at that point, issue 5, I was like, I know that's going to be the one, and I'm telling you, issue 7 is my favorite of Severed by far. It's pretty gruesome, though.
Hey, Scott, this is Adam. The last time you were on, you mentioned that Swamp Thing was always one of your kind of favorite type of characters. You've always kind of wanted to write for that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other character that you've just really wanted that you haven't done yet?
Yeah, I mean, there are tons, you know. I mean, I honestly, Bruce Wayne is my favorite character, so I would stay where I am as long as they'll have me until I get fired, you know. And we do have plans also for the story. I'm starting to write the story after this story, not that in script, but I've outlined it and stuff and talked to DC about it. And it's another big one. So I'm excited. It's, you know, But other than Bruce and Alec, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, the thing is that there's a lot of good people on those characters, so it's hard to think about. Like, Wonder Woman is a character I had this whole Captain America sort of idea that I really wanted to do with, but Brian is just killing it on that series, and the last thing I would ever want to do is take over after he's on it. Yeah. And the same thing with, you know, with Flash, you know. But also, most of the characters are in Gotham. I would love to shift laterally over and do Nightwing at some point, like do Dick Grayson again, or I'd love to do Batgirl. There's a lot of characters in the Bat-U I'd love to write at some point.
Anybody across the aisle that you'd like to write?
Those guys, I hate all of them.
Fair enough.
No, I just, honestly, it's a small community, and as close as I am with guys like Jeff Lemire and everybody in the back group, pretty much, and I've become friendly with Jeff Johns and those guys too at DC, so I feel very, you know, at home at DC. Mm-hmm. I've also become friendly with a lot of guys that inspire me over there. Like, there's nobody nicer than someone like Mark Waid, who I went up to it literally as a fan, you know, not a while ago. And I was like, I'm just starting out in comics. I'm a huge fan. He has stayed in touch and been incredibly supportive. And I think Daredevil is one of the most amazing series to come out in a huge, huge, you know, a long, long time. So that's a character that I suddenly find so inspiring. I'd love to try, even though I do something really different than what he's doing. Jason Aaron over there, what he's doing with Wolverine and the X-Men is incredible. I love it. It's funny. It's smart. It's different, you know? I think what Bendis is doing with Miles Morales is one of the best books on the stands, hands down. I mean, I enjoy that. Same thing. Like, and Remender is one of my absolute favorite guys from before he was on X-Force, but X-Force just sort of nails it. I love Frankie Castle and all that stuff. So, yeah. I mean, in terms of the characters, I guess I would love to do... I'd really love to do the obvious ones like Wolverine and Punisher and the guys that are the darker ones. But honestly, what Dan Slott has been doing with Spider-Man's probably was my first superhero that I loved as a little kid. So I would say Spider-Man and Captain America are two guys that are really high on my list if I ever went across the aisle, which I never ever
I enjoyed your Iron Man noir, by the way. Just
oh, man, thanks. Yeah, that was my first big gig. I was so happy. I was so excited to get that. I had to pitch so hard for that. I pitched over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, it was a very different take on the character, so...
I was really nervous. I was like, because they were like, it's noir. And I was like, well, I want to try it as pulp. And they were like, we can't guarantee you'll get it if you pitch that. I was like, it's either that or you do them in an Iron Man suit with a trench coat over it and like sneak around, you know, with like an Iron Man suit. So, you know, makes more sense this way. But anyway. I should hop off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for calling. Please call anytime.
It's always a pleasure. I hope I get to Pittsburgh sometime soon.
Wonderful. That'd be great. We'd love to have you.
Cool. I'll speak to you guys soon.
Okay, thanks.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that was cool. I can't believe I get to do another podcast with 100% more Scott Snyder.
I was thinking, I mean, time-wise, compared to the first, you're going to have to put, like, 80% more.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it wasn't as long as the first thing.
Clips the last... So.
You should just cut off the first hour.
Yeah, we were rambling a little. So I might have to edit a little bit there during our technical difficulties. But I think we pretty much said all we wanted to say, and that was a fantastic coda to everything. Everybody go home and read your Batmans. And we'll come up with something good for next week.
We got to wait four more weeks till
six. Yeah, we do. I'm sorry,
just read American Vampire and Swamp Thing, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Severed.
And Severed.
Severed's been good.
Can't wait.
Okay. We'll talk at you later. See ya.
Faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America, when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. tried to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio with Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take you back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets, demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drift's the only ice that I rock with, and mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save your kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the